You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com. Yo.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
This is going
to
be a clusterfuck.
This podcast has no rules.
Talking to the mic, asshole.
I'm sure I've already said, should I regret?
Can I get a microphone?
No! What the fuck?
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes it's intense. No topics. No directions. I love doing it.
Don't play both sides of the coin.
That's how a host does, you motherfucker.
I'm honored that you think my podcast is popular enough where I might affect somebody's life.
You never know.
It's Robert Kelly's You Know What Do podcast on riotcast.com.
Yo, 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 what is up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican rattlesnake, real ass dude. Hashtag the show, the artist formerly known as the Howard Stern of MMA Radio, taking over the YKWD podcast. You know what, dude? Get the fuck out of my face. It's a real ass takeover.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I was really trying to start an applause break for myself. Nobody applauded.
I'll go with you.
Thank you very much, Pete Lee. You know what? The best guest of the night gets a $100 fucking gift certificate.
To really? Where?
I don't know. It's coming from YKWD's account, Lauren.
That's empty.
You know what? Hold on.
Oh, just fucking sell some of the Patrice memorabilia.
Best guest of the night. I actually got from a fan. It says it's from my buddy Big John McCarthy, who's a fan. He gave me a $15 iTunes music card.
Wait, Big John McCarthy? The
not
Big
the
John?
No, not the not Big John from the.
This is another UFC. Big John McCarthy.
He calls himself Big John.
And you would just throw it out there and not even say not.
It's
the
a good
Big
friend
John
of mine,
McCarthy?
George St. Pierre. Not that George St. Pierre. It's a different one.
Good friend of mine, Barack Obama. He's a trucker.
He gave me a $15 iTunes gift card. Mm-hmm. Check this out. Best guest on YKWD today is walking out with a $15 iTunes gift card.
I thought it was $100.
Yeah, it went down in value.
That would have been good had you not started with $100 cash.
By the
that would have been
show,
a pretty cool.
The best guest is going to owe Louis $75 by the end of the show.
Yeah.
No, but here's the problem. I didn't realize that the YKWD bank account was completely empty.
Well, it's not empty. It's just, you know.
So can we,
you,
give $100, can we give $100 to the best guest of the night?
For what?
For being great and bringing it. We're trying to incentivize the guests.
I'll run it by Bobby.
It would be like, crazy
fuck yeah,
here.
Dude. Yeah.
But like Legion of Skanks pays every show if you think about it that way.
Yeah. It's a little crazy.
Wow. All right, so wow, you guys are coming in strong talking shit right away.
I don't know. Louis got me with that takeover nut shit. I thought we were fighting somebody.
Yeah.
So like look, that. Welcome to YKWD. Bob Kelly is out in Los Angeles. I just spoke with him. He's very excited, but he's watching along. If you guys are in the chat room, he might be chatting along with you guys. So
hi, Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby's listening to the show right now,
dude.
And we have a pretty fucking intense lineup here.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm gonna tell you right now, we're starting off with a good night. No Scopo.
Hey.
Oh. No Scopo.
Is he just not? He's on his coming? Way.
He's got a show.
Oh,
he's
he is?
Early.
Yeah, he's coming.
He is coming. I figured he quit this one too.
Well, you'll see when Scopo comes in the type of he draws the energy out of the room. No, right out of the room.
No comment.
Yeah.
Dave Smith has you have an incredible you got a man spreading thing going on here. If this was the subway, you'd
that was very passive aggressive, Mike Fenoia. Mike, that's the voice of Mike Fenoia, guys. Give
hey!
It up for Mike Fenoia.
Mike Fenoia.
Very, very passive aggressive.
No, he's got a you are. Has he got a little man spread out?
So he's got a lot of man spread and like his jeans are so tight, like with the man spread that it's weird. He almost has like a skateboard concave.
Like a half pipe?
Yeah, like you're supposed to have a giant bulge.
You've never seen his dick. That's a full pipe, trust me.
You got a nice dick?
We also got Pete Lee is here, guys. Give it up for Pete Lee. Dave Smith is here from the Part of the Problem podcast.
Yeah.
I just keep it going nice and quick.
Yeah. I want to spread more now.
Spread your man.
I've been challenged.
And last but not least, making her YKWD debut.
YKW yes. debut.
Her YKW debut. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Shame On podcast, Karen Feehan.
Oh. Yeah.
First time anybody's ever said double D and Karen in the same sentence.
back to talking about Dave's dick.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So hold on, Dave. That's a term. The reason I say passive aggressive, Fenoya, is because you could have been like, hey, Dave, just fucking move your legs in a little bit. You're crowding on my shit. But you.
Lewis, by the way, only knows passive aggressive or totally aggressive. He goes, you could have looked at Dave and just been like, hey, pussy, deal with those fucking legs. Or get
I was trying to use a New York word, a cool New York word.
That's not a New York word.
That's not a cool New York word. That's a fucking
word.
Feminist.
Is it?
Fucking,
yes.
Oh, dude, spread more. I don't give a shit.
By the way, Lewis went on a whole campaign when that first came out. It was amazing.
Yeah.
What was the series called again?
It was called Woman Spreading.
Woman Spreading. And Lewis would just go through and show chicks with their bags on subways. And whatever men ever do with spreading their legs, women do 10 times more with fucking handbags.
To another level. It's not even like... You don't even, like, they go, oh, manspreading is a thing. And I get it. Dudes, we just sit with our legs spread a little bit wider. And I understand sometimes it's a little uncomfortable for somebody to say, hey, could you move your legs over? They don't want to come off like a dick. Women will flat up just put their bags next to them, put their legs up, will fucking go shopping and take up three different seats. No problem with it at all. How is manspreading even a term where woman spreading isn't a thing?
Yeah, theirs is because they have a purse and a tote bag and then an overnight bag because I've been staying over at my boyfriend's and he lives in Hoboken. And ours is because we have balls.
A beanbag.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, totally.
We have to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not
anti-spread. I love it. I'm just a big spreader.
Oh, no, okay. I'm just saying. Pete made a great point.
We
didn't have a choice. It's your choice to be a whore with this guy in Hoboken, okay?
Yeah.
I don't choose to have balls. They're there.
Yeah.
It's summer.
Keep some clothes at his house, or at least make him want to commit so you can.
Okay? What's going on? You guys are both 33. I mean, just move in already.
Stay over, for Christ's sake.
What are you guys even doing? You're not getting any younger.
Me and Karen were on the subway on our way here, and there was, I would say, an even worse infraction than manspreading, which is the Puerto Rican with their music playing on the subway.
Oh, that's... I wish the death penalty.
Holding up their phone because they don't have headphones.
This guy didn't even have a phone. I don't know what it was.
He was falling asleep. He wasn't even listening to the own music that he was playing for everyone.
Because I'm going to take a nap. I'm just going to put something on for you guys.
Yeah, this is true. I liked part of the song, but part of it was terrible.
It was not... You said you didn't even know if he had a phone? What would he have? Like a jukebox?
It was coming out of his bag. I think it was a...
It was a phone. He was fine.
I have no idea what it was.
Maybe it was a calculator.
It could have been a fucking... It could have been a speaker in his bag, some sort of Bluetooth contraption. I have no idea what it was. All I know is his bag was playing some sort of like fucking mountaineer music. Like, you know the guys in Times Square that play all the flutes? There's like a whole flute group in Times Square.
Yeah.
We heard two different songs. I think there was like an R&B mix in there.
No.
I think it was like a woman's voice.
I thought Ricola commercial right away.
Yes.
Yeah.
But imagine they with an Asian twist.
Oh, like Zelda when he hit the flute? Like,
yes.
Was it a minstrel medley?
Yeah, what the fuck's this guy listening to?
I don't know what he was listening to.
No wonder he was sleeping.
I think he made that song.
All I know is when I'm on the subway and somebody does that, my immediate reaction is like, I have to fucking say something, and I never do, and I'll tell you why. Because the people that do that are animals, and I don't know what they're capable of.
Yeah, they don't have the thing in their brain that says, that would be rude, people wouldn't like this.
You want to talk to me on the subway? Motherfucker, I can't afford earbuds.
Yeah. Well, also, when he walked onto the subway, we were doing an a cappella version of...
you were, I was singing backup.
Mr. Big's... Hang on, little girl. Say that I'm done to you.
Wow, that's
stand up, little girl.
It's true. It's true.
Come on, baby.
So this guy.
Let me be the one to show you. I'm the one who wants to be with you.
I'm the one.
Deep inside, I hope you feel it too.
That bit should have ended a long time ago. So you started with a guy not using his headphones, and I was like, oh, I fucking hate that guy. Turns out he was the third most annoying person on the train.
Yeah, really?
We were literally singing it, and not even...
By the way, jokes make better podcasting than four people without good voices singing.
Yeah,
for the record. Pete was pretty good on the harmony.
I said four.
I think he was really...
Four. Pete was the good one.
I thought we
fucking... You made me work. work, Pete.
You put out the best in Mike Fedora.
You were my muse, Mike.
Oh, man.
Mike was going at like an 8, but then Pete was
you
a 9.
You were my hurdle. Yeah.
I would love it if that guy was asleep and you guys woke him up and he like clicked it on in his bag so he could sleep like a white noise machine or something.
His psychiatrist is like, anytime you want to kill someone, just play fucking Mountaineer flute music.
Yeah,
like, I hate Mr. Big. I hate Mr. Big.
But it's usually like a thuggy black kid or a thuggy Puerto Rican kid. This guy, he wasn't thuggy, but he was a little bit older, I'd say. Probably
I
like,
thought he was older and Middle Eastern. I don't know why you think he was.
No, he was a Puerto Rican guy with pan flute music. It was pretty crazy.
I wonder how long it would take for you to hate the song he was playing if it was a song you loved, but you just didn't want to hear it on the subway.
But you know what?
Like if you walked on and he was playing Pantera. Like, how long till you're like...
It would still bother me, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Okay, right? And Dave, you're going to connect with me on this idea, right? It's like when you're walking down the street with a friend, like a girl, just a friend, right? But she's not your girlfriend. But some dude catcalls her in front of you.
Oh.
So even though it's not your girl, he doesn't know that, okay? Mm. That guy has no idea that this isn't my fucking wife right
well,
now.
Well, I also
so
get...
that guy has no idea that I don't, that I like Pantera. So he's still being a fucking dick. The intent
hey,
right
there... Hey, motherfucker!
There,
bro, you know I could hate Pantera.
Lucky for you, I love it.
God damn it, I have Pantera tattooed on my chest. You might say, why did I have to wear this tank top?
This was a real ass close call.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes I eat a Panera also, bread like, just because it's close to Pantera.
This is what drives me crazy about that the most is that it'll always be some shit where it's like, you know, like some fucking hip hop music or something where they're like, rub your pussy on my face. And there's like fucking kids around.
That is my favorite song.
It's a good song.
Rub your pussy on my face.
That's the chorus.
Rub your pussy on my face. Come on, everyone. Rub your pussy on my face.
Rub your pussy on my face.
Rub your pussy on my face. Rub your pussy on my face. That's going to annoy David's songs all the time.
No, listen.
Rub
your pussy right up on my face.
But it's always shit like that. And that's kind of what would bother me about like even Pantera. Like that. It's just like aggressive music to fucking play for everybody. It's
so Gil Diamond's like, totally cool though.
Yeah, but compared to metal now, it's so funny because to me, like Pantera sounds pretty mild.
No, it's not inappropriate like that. It's just kind of aggressive. Like if you're trying to read, if you're trying to, that's the thing. The other thing that bothers me is
I'm trying to read.
No, not you implied. Obviously not you. But I hate that if you're reading on the train and someone comes on and is just playing music, you're like, as I feel the same way with those kids fucking dancing. You're like, dude, come on, man. This has to take over everyone's shit now. Yeah. Like,
what if they ask you for money? People just playing music on their phone. Like, can I get $5 for this song? It's pretty good, right?
That's
like,
their talent.
They don't ask you for money.
I'd rather a person be doing tricks and dancing and asking for money than just listening to their fucking song and inviting me into their own fucking party. At the very least, I can justify the industrious attitude of the young black kids dancing on the train. They're trying to fucking make money. They're not, I mean, that's part of their shtick, which is like, oh, we're not going to stick you up and we're, you know, out
I
here.
Hate that. That drives me fucking crazy.
When they all say it at the same time, we're not going to stick you up.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you got together on the thing, so maybe you would do the sticking up.
They're like, all right, we're going to open with not stick you up.
But that's the part of their speech is like, yo, we're not out there causing trouble. We're not out there robbing people. We just want to sell candy on the train. So, like, the implication is, like, if we, like, look, give us money or we might have to rob you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's like, what, do you want a fucking cookie for not robbing people? Like, the rest of us aren't robbing people, too.
We do have cookies if you want to buy those cookies.
$2.
But I was a young kid who was trying to make money. Like, I wouldn't, if I grew up in the city, I would have probably been dancing on a train. Or
so what would you do to make money?
Back in Lewis, it was like the electric slide days. Lewis is doing the Macarena on the fucking R train.
So you have to bully your way onto a dance troupe.
Where were you going?
I got loose.
I'm a real ass entertainer.
Where were you going with that before I just started? Like, that's the
go
funniest thing I've ever heard. Oh, look, I was one turn away from just ending up dancing on the trains, man.
You don't understand. I was a fan of Ace of Base. I would have done anything. All she wants is another baby? Yeah, all I want is to dance on this train.
I can totally relate to just one want.
No, I'm not talking. Obviously, I don't mean literally dancing on the train. I mean, maybe I might have. I don't know how to dance, but I'm saying I could have.
You just would have been a hustler, as you're saying.
I would have been a hustler. I was a street hustler as a kid, but I grew up in the suburbs.
Three card Monte. Follow. Keep your eye on it.
No, street hustling in the suburbs was a fucking lemonade stand. That's all those little black kids are doing right now in the suburbs. Subways is their own version of a
lemonade
stand.
Man, the suburbs have gotten pussy. That's a street hustling.
Did you do anything when you were a young kid to make money, Pete?
Yeah, I had a paper route, and I used to steal out of my mom's purse.
Yeah. And did you ever steal bills out of her purse?
Yeah, yeah. Like, really? I mean, it was stupid. But my mom was a waitress.
Lewis only got food stamps.
I know. My mom was a waitress, and so like that makes it even worse. But she just always had loose money in her purse, and I'd be like, she won't miss this five.
Yeah. She's always too tired working a double to pay attention to how much money she has while her little piece of shit kid is stealing money out of her purse.
earned from a double at Red Lobster.
And you were like a nice kid too.
Yeah, I was a good kid, but like I was a good kid, but I also just was the kid that didn't get caught. You know, like my brother and I would go out and vandalize the neighborhood, and like, I mean, I guess I got arrested for shoplifting several times.
Pete, you're not sounding like that good of a
kid. Yeah, really? Oh,
you vandalized the neighborhood, shoplifted, and stole from your mom. Who was the bad kid?
So one time,
my brother, because he like ended up in jail.
He killed my mom.
Yeah.
One time, me and my brother raped this girl at a party. It was pretty crazy. I got away with it. Caught, though.
Yeah, I mean, but it was.
I was
a
like,
good
really,
kid.
Brother? You're going in for seconds? Jesus.
Well, like I had my paper out, and my brother, this woman refused to pay me, so my brother and I were like, we're gonna ruin her fucking house.
Yeah,
and
nice.
We would like put like salami on her car, so
strips the paint.
Yeah, strips the paint.
That was a good one.
We'd soap her windows.
What a hilarious
like
white guy suburban fact to know.
You knew that right away.
Yeah,
we used to do that. Yeah, if you put salami on, it strips the paint right off the car.
I had no idea.
I did it to my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, it's huge.
You put salami on your ex-boyfriend's car. You psychopath.
He put herpes on her pussy.
We did that to the neighbors on mischief night. That was a big one.
No, it's cabbage night.
What did he do to you that you had to put salami on his car?
I don't know. Probably cheated on me. I don't give a shit.
You didn't remember. It was so important at the time that you vandalized his property.
Oh, you know what he did?
But it wasn't something that was sticking in your memory.
He fucked a girl that was like three lockers down for me and like made out with her like 2 days after.
I love school geography.
Yeah.
Three lockers down.
I was devastated.
Do you think supermarket employees have to deal with a lot of angry women coming in? Like, where's the salami? Where's your salami section?
I need ivory soap and salami.
Yeah, do you think that like when a girl does that, she's like, it's gotta be black boar, you know? Like, it's gotta be organic. She's really selective about her salami.
No, you get the cheap shit. Yeah.
Is this low sodium?
So you would do fucked up shit. Because it's funny, you were a good kid. I was a bad kid, and I would steal from my mom, but I would never steal dollar bills. I would only take change. That was like this weird moral code that I had.
Had a poorer mom. It's not a moral code. Okay?
Yeah, there was
nothing moral about this.
I did. Karen, did you do anything fucked up as a kid? Were you out there?
No, I was good.
You never stole from your mom?
No.
Yeah, eat your mic a little bit. Pick your mic up.
Or it's just the angle it's at.
No, I was a good kid. I didn't steal from my parents.
You had a horrible childhood.
No, I didn't.
I can tell by the person you are today.
No.
What happened?
I started drinking when I was like 12, but that's it.
That's pretty
awful
crazy.
Happened.
You know, I guess that's the truth. I started technically started. I mean, what is it like? Is it like stand up the first time you do it, then you've started? Because I didn't drink regularly when I was 12, but the first time I
drank, I think it was 12. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the first time I had a sip of alcohol, but the first time I drank.
First time I had a sip of beer, I was probably 7. I stole a beer out of my grandma's fridge.
Yeah. In like 7th grade. What's that, 12, 11?
For me, 15.
Somewhere around there.
I got a beer from my grandma. I traded in some change I stole from my mom's purse.
It was a nickel beer.
In Wisconsin, there's actually a law that once you become 12, when you're at a bar, you can have a pony beer with a parent.
What?
Yeah,
what's a pony beer?
It's a tiny little
beer. It's
made
of pony blood.
It's like
it's pretty fucking hardcore.
They're giving this to kids.
Like an orange juice glass of beer.
Okay.
And you can have one. And between the ages of 12 and 16, you can have it. You guys can Google it.
Today. Right now. Today you can.
Yeah. And then usually from 16 to like 21, you can't drink. But like as a little kid, you can have a.
Wait, where is this?
How weird is that they cut you off from 16 to 21, but from 12 to 16, you're allowed to have that.
You got me hooked on pony beer.
Yeah, it's one of those weird laws that like Jay Leno, you know, when you'd be like, here's a weird law in Wisconsin, you can have a beer when you're 12 years old, but 16, you know, like one of those things, and it still stands. And you go to a bar, and there's little kids with their pony beers, and they like can't wait to get their pony.
This is how dumb Lauren is.
Dumb?
She just typed in pony beer.
What else am I supposed to type in?
Wisconsin pony beer law, something.
It's really French. They do that in France, like Europe. I think it's
well,
smart.
France, you can just drink, man.
Well, that's
it's like,
yeah.
They say it's like 16 for beer and then 18 for alcohol.
No.
But if you're there, at all. It's just in France, they'll serve a fucking 13-year-old. They don't give a shit.
Our whole class was 15, and we all got wasted every night with my teacher. They don't care.
Oh, yeah, wow. That was part of your normal childhood.
That was actually gym class for you guys.
Well, Karen's a recovering alcoholic, like a legit straight-up recovering alcoholic.
Karen is the only person I know who's actually convinced me that alcoholism might be a disease.
Real. Thank you.
She's
so
educated
much.
Me. Because you also can do other shit and you're not a problem, but you have a fucking problem with alcohol.
It's very specific. Yeah.
And so you had your first drink when you were 12. What was your first drink?
Me and Jamie Chipman were babysitting. There was Jesus. Infants asleep all over. We took all the different alcohol. We didn't know what we were doing. We thought we were making mudslides. And we just got hammered and put the Playboy channel on and we're just like, I don't know, hanging out. We were 12.
Just watching.
Just
girls.
Hanging out,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, you know,
and this was you and another girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And where were the toddlers?
Asleep. All their names started with K. I remember, like, one was named Kennedy, and, like, we, like, passed out, and, like, the parents said we could sleep there. It was bad. I mean, I don't think that we should have been left with those
children. Just two 12-year-old girls, unattended, getting drunk, watching Playboy.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah. That sounds incredible.
I was really popular.
We're the exact two dumb moms video.
Hey, hold on. Can you retell the story? Dim the lights?
Yeah.
Can you make yourself 14 so I'm not guilty about this?
Bomb rag?
I vomited the next day because I had ballet class, and I was in the Boston Ballet, and I was in, like, a really intense class, and you have to jump for, like, 12 minutes, just straight jumps. And I
That's
ran
not ballet.
Out.
That was hip-hop. Up.
Were you just in some guy's apartment? Welcome back to ballet.
And I ran to the bathroom. I booted everywhere. And my mom, I must have smelled like booze. My mom was in total denial about it, though. She was like, oh, you must have the flu. What's the matter?
Oh, you must have eaten something that really smells like booze.
Like all the alcohol, yeah.
Dave, what was the first time you drank?
I remember it's got to be something like around that age, 11, 12, something like that. But at my friend Michael Beal's place, and he had a really nice
house.
It.
Whenever, anytime anybody tells a story, you have to give the first and last name.
I remember. Totally. Can I just tell a quick aside story? When that shit went down, when Ari did his last special, I remember actually having a moment with him and going like, dude, why the fuck did you say her full name?
Yeah.
And he just goes, dude, you know, like when you're telling a story and you're telling a story about high school, instead of just going like my friend Steve, you go like Steve Wolakowski, and it's just a better story.
It's just fair.
And
I went, just paint
that is a
better
great
picture,
answer.
Yeah.
And to anyone else who ever went, why the fuck did he say your name? It's like, no. Yeah, I don't know. To me, that was a great answer. Yeah. But anyway, so this kid, Michael, like his father had like a fucking liquor cabinet. I think one of the only parents I actually knew who had like, it was like the most traditional out of a sitcom way to get drunk for the first time. But we felt the same thing as Karen. We don't know what the fuck we did. We took like take one of the brown ones and put it in some soda. And I don't know what we drank, but I drank like four of them. Got fucking hammered, puked.
Yeah.
Thought it was awesome.
Did you get in trouble? Did you get caught?
No.
I think a lot
I think
of,
he might have gotten caught like down the line.
A lot of what you do is dependent on if you get caught early on doing it. You know what I'm saying? If you get away with it a bunch of times, like I was already addicted to weed by the time my mom caught me, and I was like, all right, too late, bitch. We got to figure this out. Wow. I'm just good to smoke weed.
I got busted drinking early, and then my parents got heavy on like on me about it, but then this was pre-cell phones, pre-beepers, all
was
that
shit. Was this before
shit,
you
so
started
I...
playing guitar on Stained?
I was right
really
before
look like Aaron
right before I bought MMA. But I would just be like, oh, I'm going to sleep over Mark's house. I'm going to sleep over Dennis's house, whatever. And they'd just be like, are her parents home? Are his parents home? Yeah. And that was it. That was their one, like, as long as parents were home, I could sleep out. But then we would go, like, in the woods and have kegs and... We were getting ripped when we were like 16.
Yeah, Fanor, you have that fucking like that all American like we used to do keggers in the woods vibe.
Dazed and Confused basically was my childhood.
Yeah. Dude, we used to do fucking keg parties in Prospect Park.
That just sounds
fucking
dangerous.
Once a week.
There was black people everywhere. It was really dangerous.
Dude, I'm talking about people came. There literally were fights because groups of black thugs came and just tried to like you know fucking rob people and shit. Yeah. There were brawls. Cops would come. We'd run.
I went. Me and Katie.
It was great. It was so much fun.
When I met Dave Smith, I was dating this chick Katie. That's how I met Dave.
She was like we all grew up in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Together. She'd probably be at some of those.
We
parties
would go to some parties in the park like late at night. It'd be a Friday night at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Prospect Park. It was fucking pure chaos. It felt felt dangerous.
Dude, I straight. It literally felt dangerous. I have so many crazy stories from that fucking park because I grew up around there in Brooklyn. And that's like, if you're like broke kids and that's where you went to the park. I mean, I ran from cops. I ran from this fucking. One time when I was 14, we used to. This is one of the least things I'm most not proud of in my entire life. But we used to run on cabs all the time. That was
you tripped
shit.
A black kid and he got shot to death. You got away.
It was the 90s. It was before all this Black Lives Matter like, shit.
Nobody mattered. I can
breathe so good. but we used to run on cabs. Like we'd go to the city to like some party and like come back, you know, cab and just we'd just take it to like somewhere near the park. And then just run into the fucking park and get. It was like, you know, at the time it was like free cabs. Looking back at it, it's like, yeah, you know, you're robbing from someone from a third world country. It's kind of fucked up. But
I have, to this day.
And that's how Al Qaeda started.
I have no problem with you ditching cab. I almost ditched a cab the other day out of.
You have no sense of ethics.
No, okay? Here's what happened. I went to the stand, okay, and I had.
That's way too late in your life for there to be a ditching cab story.
I didn't ditch the cab, but I was going to. I went to go get. I went to take the cab, and I didn't have any money on me, so I went to go get my pay to pay the cab after I got there. And I was like, let me give you my wallet or my card. I'll be right back. I'm just gonna go grab my pay. And he was like, no, it's okay, buddy. Go ahead. And I was like, well, I almost wanted to teach him a lesson. He'd be like, you fucking moron. Are you out of your mind? It's like anybody could just walk away from your cab.
I got the cops called on me when I jumped out of a cab.
Really?
Yeah, and they came into my door, and they were banging on my door, and I was in a total blackout. I was just wasted. I was living in Queens. And I got out there, and there was like two cops there, and I was just like, hey, you guys want to come in? And they're like, no.
Oh, man.
Is this the beginning of a story about how you got double teamed by two cops?
All right, you guys showed up in police uniforms. Kinky. Yeah. Come on in. Who wants the butt?
Sounds like the deleted scenes from the teenagers getting wasted watching the kids.
Well, dude, so I was in a. This used to happen, it would always kind of be like, you know, we'd do like odds and evens or some shit like that, but whoever was in the middle seat, that was the shitty seat to be in when you fucking ran from a cab.
Yeah, so they called the bitch seat.
Now, most of the time.
You go, in suburban rules, you call shotgun, and then bitch, not bitch.
Yeah. Well,
now in this day and age, with feminism, it's called the person seat.
Yeah, no. Be like bitch seat person. Because that's totally cool too.
Bitch seat matters.
None of us had cars. This was the only, so we just huddled up and we were like, all right, we're gonna do this, and then it would be like, fuck it, all right, who's gonna be in the middle? But I was in the middle this time, and I think at least 90% of the time you did this. You just leave the doors open and you run, and they're not expecting you to run, and they can't just ditch their fucking car. But this
that
motherfucker
was, like
was a different what Pakistani was animal.
Dave, what was the movie though? That
this is it was straight out of it's the one where the boys get raped in jail. You're talking about, right?
Yeah. Sleepers.
Yeah. Where it literally that's what this was. This motherfucker chased me for. I mean, I was a teenager, so like I could run.
Were you alone or were you with your buddies?
I was with my buddies, but we all ran into the woods, and I was the closest one.
You were a fat kid when you were a teenager, and you just lost all the weight.
This is what did it.
I started the beginning of the story.
Once that cab, you raped me in the woods. I was running,
but I was in fucking. I remember I was in like Timberlands. And I'm running in the woods.
All right, stop bragging.
Jump over a fence.
Wigger Dave.
Just wigger 90s hip hop Dave. I
Bosch
jump
jeans.
Over the fence and I'm running through woods. You're talking about running through woods, like sticks every time. And you know, like, yeah, we all split out in different directions, but I realized, I mean, I think a good full 10 minutes of running, this motherfucker, and he's wearing like some Muslim sheet shit, and he's running and he's screaming at the top of his lungs. He goes, I fuck you. I fucking kill you. And I'm fucking running, like, and I'm looking down and my shoes are kind of untied and shit. Oh, I'm running as fast as I can. I'm sprinting.
This is like a PTSD.
I remember
nightmare.
Just being,
the price of looking
being,
cool.
Like, being like, if I fucking trip and fall right now, I'd be like, this dude wants to fight me to the death. Yeah. And we ran like somewhere deep into the middle of fucking Prospect Park.
And he just left his cab there.
He must have left his cab, doors open forever. Because I don't know exactly when I lost him, but it was far into the park.
Yeah, that's almost the exact same story, except the guy didn't chase us really. He did, but he stopped after a second. But the cops came. We were going to visit my buddy's girlfriend, who was like at a high school, like the other. She was like a ninth grader at another high school. So we were like in the ninth grade. We like ditched school for the day, and we jumped out of the cab. And we ran down this hill, and we went to the school. Like, and it was like it was their lunchtime. We hung out with her.
You skipped school to go to another school.
kids really do just crave structure.
What do you want to do now that we skip school? I don't know. Go sign up for more classes. Whatever.
Let's go audit geometry.
But when we left, the cops rolled up on us as soon as we left, and they were with the cab driver, and he got us, and we were like, oh, shit. We didn't have any money. So they made me give him my middle school graduation ring.
The cops made you do the
middle school graduation ring?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were you an Olympic swimmer in Brazil? Where the fuck did this
Jostens really had their fucking hands around your neck in that school.
No, we had middle school graduation rings. Havisham Middle School, and I never got it back.
You got a
middle sad.
Oh, but you're an officer. I'm the first one in my family to graduate middle school. That would mean so much.
That was going to be a Christmas present to my grandmother and my mother.
My mom told me when I was a baby, you're going to go get you one of those elementary school rings, boy.
Freud, were you a bad? You weren't a bad kid. You were a good
kid. I never stole from my parents, but I used to, we partied a ton. We used to set, like, leaf fires was a huge thing we used to do. Like, around this time of year.
You used
and
to make
on,
paddles and beat up freshmen?
Not, yeah, right, yeah. We used to tie kids to the fucking goalposts. And, no, but, like, leaf fires, was that a thing anywhere else? Like,
nah.
when everybody would rake their leaves to the front of the yard for the town to come pick up all the leaves, and we would just set the piles of leaves on fire and run. And every now and then, like,
you burn somebody's house down.
There was a couple times where, like, the fire would get a little high and there were still leaves on the branches and it would catch and.
That's the noise, like, shit. The all-American fun. It's like, nah, I never did anything like that. But, you know, we set some fires a couple times with a few babies in the house. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody
like
died.
Like, all the nice guys are worse than us. I just want to
I mean, definitely.
A couple of misdemeanors, you know, arson.
Drinking ponies. We started drinking early and, like, smoking cigarettes. Like, I think I started smoking cigarettes in, like, seventh grade, sixth grade.
I was seventh
That's
grade.
That's the time. My parents
grade.
Thought I was smoking pot because I smoked a cigarette and I got nervous and I went to my buddy's house and we took his brother's cologne and, like, sprayed a shitload of cologne because we thought it would cover up the cigarette smell. And then I went home and my parents were like, you smelled
Have
funny,
you been hanging
like,
out with
fucking...
Puerto Ricans?
he was basically a fucking Puerto Rican, yeah. But no, it was we just had, yeah, good old-fashioned American fun. You know, setting fires, a lot of mischief night shit, a lot of, like, egging people's houses.
Yeah.
Crank calling, jerky boy shit was a ton of fun, too. We did a bunch of
That's all. That's all gone now. Like, you can't really prank call
with
people.
Caller ID.
No, you can't. That was a blast, though.
Yeah, being anonymous and being able just to call somebody.
I've been trying to do a prank now, and it's just not working. I won't say who, but I've been trying to book him on a gig, like, 4 hours away. It's a comedian. And he
Is
won't
he a
bite.
Rapist?
No. I just want to fuck with him. I want to book him on a Saturday night gig, like 4 hours upstate.
Oh, God.
And then have him show up and there be no gig.
So you're trying to book Scopo?
No, it's not okay. Scopo. It's somebody else. It's fucking...
Scopo can't even get booked at fake rooms.
Scopo's got to submit
Imagine
a tape.
That he's like, I fucking got there. No one's there. He's like, who books that? Do you have his email? Can I you send him my avail?
Scopo's got to bring six friends to get on my fake show.
Should I send him a video or?
Why can't you figure it out? Just make a fake profile.
I did. I made a fake Twitter profile. I started tweeting at the guy.
So much
I'm
time
a big
on your
fan.
Hands.
It's been a month and a half. I've been setting it up, and it's just he won't bite. He won't bite. I'm like, hey, dude, would you come and do the show? No answer. I asked other people, like other comedians, if he checks my thing. There's like me asking a bunch of comics in the scene if they're interested in doing the show.
Oh, that's. You know, there is a Twitter guy that's asking me to do shows, so I'm like, is it me?
No. It's not you.
Are you catfishing me and then telling me? And then I'm like, well, it can't be that guy.
Reverse psychology.
It can't be two people doing this, right?
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often, though. It's such an easy, because who would fucking check? All it takes is a Twitter profile, right? And be like, hey, dude, come and do my show in fucking Pennsylvania. I think you're great.
Why would you say this over the YKWD airwaves to just tell
Guys,
people,
do it so. To every comic in New York City.
No, really.
If you don't do your due diligence and check and fucking make sure that it's a real gig, I think you deserve the 4 hours wasted in the night of Comedy Root.
Eight really hours do. Round trip.
Yeah, depending on where you're going, yeah.
Crazy, dude.
Wow.
Wow. Moral of story.
It'd be hilarious if you did that to the guy and he went and then he just came back and you go, hey, how was your gig? And he goes, awesome, I crushed.
I recommended you.
It sounds like this caliber comic is actually like when you do the con and then you defollow him on Twitter, he's gonna be like, shit, I lost one.
Yeah.
Like he's probably in the teens. You know, you're like number 17, he's gonna be crushed to go back down to 16.
Did you guys fuck with Mischief Night like here in the city? Like I always
well,
wondered
I didn't grow
about
up in the city. I grew up in the suburbs and they call it something different in every city. See, we called it Gate Night. I've heard Mischief Night.
We call it Cabbage Night.
Cabbage Night.
Yeah.
Cabbage Night.
Yeah, that's I don't just know weird.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's a Jersey thing.
Really? Yeah. What was, like, the shit you did?
We would just, like, fucking egg cars.
Try to suck as many dicks as possible. Oh, it's totally. Pretty crazy.
Yes. Cabbage Night. Yeah.
Guzzle cum. No, we would just egg cars.
That was so hot how you said that. Yeah. Egg cars as they were driving by.
Yeah.
Girls don't really do that, though. That's like a fucking guy thing.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Knock on doors and run.
College.
No, girls guzzle cum.
Yeah.
No, Jasmine. Did you ever do shit like that, Karen? You go out and throw eggs at cars and shit?
No. We just got drunk. We just did, like, senior skip day. I mean, people used to, like, hit mailboxes with baseball bats a lot.
Yeah, we used
driving
to do that,
cars.
Too. So, anything Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
We fucking did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't really into that.
Rip like donuts on people's lawns.
The other problem
cars.
Is I wasn't like a cool. But when we were going out for like Gate Night and the night before Halloween, I wasn't like a cool kid yet. I was like in the eighth grade. I was never really a cool kid, to be honest.
You're a year away, bro.
But I was in the eighth grade.
all the upperclassmen loved
all of
now.
The cooler kids. Like, we'd be afraid of them. So, like, I remember one year, like, we had eggs and shit, and we had shaving cream, and me and my buddy Mike and my buddy James, we went around and we're like, hey, we're going to fucking spray some stuff on the street.
Yeah.
And we got fucking jumped by these older kids. And then, like, beat us up, but they fucking, like, beat us down with eggs.
Oh, dude, I remember
and then
getting
socks filled with baby powder and just fucking, like, just.
Dude, I'm talking about getting jumped. I got jumped on Halloween, dude. I got fucking, I got these kids, dude, one time surrounded us. It was so funny, dude. At, I mean, I must have been
just
like
dressed
10.
Up as a fucking ghost.
Dude, no, dude, we weren't dressed up. We were trying to be little thugs like that, and then just met like bigger, better thugs. And it was like we had like eggs and shaving cream and shit. And I just remember we got surrounded by like 9 dudes. And the one in the front, he just goes, yo, let me see that shaving cream for a second. we had to give it to him. Like, you have to give the weapon to the people who they just shave it and punch you. And you're like, oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, it was great. Brooklyn was horrible.
I like that you actually gave the shaving cream to people who probably needed to shave.
Oh, like, yeah, that guy could have genuinely used shaving cream. You're like, okay, but seeing as how you're 17 and I don't have a dad, could you explain this to me after you beat me up?
Yo, son, let me get those vitamin D capsules. I'll take the bomb, Dana. Thank you very much.
You already have it.
What was Mischief Night in Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, like, I was actually thinking about, you were asking when, like, the first drink was, and I was like, oh, I think it was with, you know, my dad or something like that, but then I remembered, we got this babysitter, because my mom would work doubles.
She was 12, and her hot 12-year-old friend got fucked up. Oh, wait a minute.
Best babysitter.
And, like, this
ever.
Babysitter was, like, a troubled teen. You know, like, she walked in the house, and me and my brother were like, it's on.
Yeah.
Like, we knew it was going to get crazy. And she's like, do you guys mind if I throw a party? And it was, like, classic
wait,
party.
Wait, how old were you now?
I think I probably would have been around, like, 10.
And the babysitter was, like, 13, 14.
I think she was, like, 15, 16,
yeah,
somewhere around there. So
that's
like,
the perfect age.
She threw a high school kegger in the house, and my brother and I were like, yeah. Like.
And how old was your brother?
If I was 10, he was probably 14. So
he
we
was
got,
loving
so
it.
So you guys had a babysitter when he was 14?
Yeah.
That's just kind of embarrassing for him.
Well, he was very irresponsible. I mean, my mom needed the babysitter more for him than me.
He's like, oh, this is your new babysitter. Like, we're in trig together.
Yeah, I'm fucking her. But yeah, so
yeah,
anyways,
I know her smell.
Yeah. So she threw this huge party. And then my brother and one of his friends, they were wrestling downstairs in the laundry room, and there was this comforter on the ground. I think it was cement floors, and they put the comforter down so that it wouldn't fuck them up, even though that doesn't. But anyway,
you're saying it like it's stupid. I'm like, yeah. Me and Dave did that when we were like 24.
That's how the pros fight.
Yeah. So it slid underneath the furnace, and then
classic.
It caught on fire.
Oh.
And then our laundry room, it's all fabric, caught on fire. Our house caught on fire. Luckily, you know, there was no 911 back then, but a neighbor called the cops.
When was this? Yeah, 1820s? There was no 911?
You had to ring the trouble bell?
The entire town came with buckets and all poured water in an assembly
so
line into the house.
I picked up my phone. I said, operator, connect me to town.
Whistle.
If they could just see the fire from...
Oh, shit.
Hey, boss, how are you?
Oh, man.
Hey.
Rich Voss joins the show. Guys, if we would have announced...
The legend.
If we would have announced Rich Voss, there might have been some people watching live.
Well, that's right now.
There we go.
Where's
What's up, Rich?
Where's Bobby?
I don't know. Eating.
Wait, is this your show?
No, it's Bobby's show, but I'm guest hosting today.
Oh, all right. I'll see you guys.
Bye.
Later, pal.
Look at this. It's a who's who of nobodies. Except, well, Pete is known through the Midwest.
Yeah, that's true.
Red Eye, somebody's roommate.
No, it's Pink Eye. He's got Pink Eye.
You got Pink Eye?
No, I think it was just a play on. Oh, that was Lewis's joke.
Okay, roast battle.
Rich, we're talking about being young kids. Pete was just telling us a story about the first time he drank was when his babysitter set his house on fire.
Yeah, she set the house on fire, and then I ended up like sitting on the back of a fire truck with one of those blankets, like at the end of Die Hard. that was the first. And my mom was like, she was like, "Wow, you look really sick. You must be really sick from the smoke inhalation." And I couldn't have not smelled like Jim Beam and all the shit that I was drinking. And I was like, "Yeah, smoke."
So wait, did your whole house burn down?
No, just a section of it, and then they had to rebuild it, and we got insurance money and stuff.
How old were you?
I was like 10.
Dude, how did your parents go away for like a weekend, or was she just there for a night and was like, "We're throwing a fucking rager just for a night"?
Well, my dad went away forever.
she went after him?
Yeah. My dad left. I talked about it on your show. My dad left my family on Christmas. Oh. And so that's what people always go, "Why are you fucked up? You seem normal." And it's that.
Why do you act like a Christmas elf all the time?
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you so insecure? But then my mom, you know, she worked at Red Lobster and she did her best, but she was just always gone.
So she dealt with a lot of blacks.
Ooh.
What? They love Red Lobster. Is that racist?
By the way, I think
he's
Red
from
Lobster's
Wisconsin.
I think Red Lobster is a solid restaurant.
Okay, first of all, when you say a fact, it's not racism.
It's true.
That's not racism if it's a fact. So your mom worked at Red Lobster. Okay, and you ended up doing shows at Red Lobster, so
family business.
Full circle. My house burnt down, you know, like 5 years ago, so I know the fucking nightmare of dealing with a house fire.
Oh, God.
It's a fucking nightmare.
It's a nightmare. You got to go through, like, to get everything back from the insurance company, you have to go to stores and then have them do a blank receipt. It's a receipt where you didn't really buy it, but they print it out with all the value of it, and then you have to hand that into the insurance company.
Yeah, but that's when you were a kid. Now everyone's got fucking, you got a credit card.
Now they just estimate it.
No, we had an insurance adjuster come in and went over everything, and I'm not lying. From fucking like little, from cords, like, you know, wires. There must have been 10,000 things on this fucking list of things that, through everything from a pair of sneakers to a fucking, to, you know, a vibrator on the side of the bed. So,
to boxes and boxes,
which
and
didn't
boxes
burn
of,
somehow.
I tell you, right after the fire, right after
that was
the
one thing that was still intact.
The next fucking day, I came home and emptied my closet from all the porns and, you know, the vibrators and the butt, you know, and you just because I'm, you know what, the firefighters in your town knowing that you're looking at, you know, fucking
pictures,
you know,
of them,
a blue
surveillance video, fucking dump tank.
Some show she's quick on, some she's not. So you fucking destroyed on Roast Battle last week.
Thank
she
you.
Was so,
Karen
you know,
was excellent.
I'm Thank such you. A big fan of her. Not her, just her right. demeanor on stage. When you went in, and the way you just, you beat her, not only with your body, just the way, like, huh?
Do you like my body better than her body?
No, not.
No, you crazy? Have you seen Caitlin Bailey's body?
Yeah. No.
Oh, are you kidding? You think with clothes
Shut
on?
Up,
no,
Dave.
She's killing you.
She talks about prostitution, right? And you just laid into her. But what would it cost, like, if I wanted to fuck one of her nostrils? Do you think it would be...
Can she cut you a deal if I only want one?
Just one.
Well, we're doing now. We're starting next Tuesday the Roastmasters tournament. Both Pete Lee and Karen are both competing in the tournament. Top 16.
Ding ding ding.
Way to go.
Oh, really?
It's gonna be 16 battlers in the first round of the tournament. 8 battles in one night.
Karen gets a rematch
with
her battle that went viral.
Yeah.
What battle was that?
Against Zach and Miko. You know, pull up some of the battle with Karen versus Zach. Won.
You had some good ones.
I thought it was your battle with anorexia.
When you guys
it's
are
not really a battle. Anorexia is killing it.
Thank you.
When you guys are fucking, is she ever like, "Will you turn on your Roastmaster's voice?" You know, like loose roast. Like you get this voice that's just amazing.
I don't know what you're talking about. Who fucks?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. I was talking about you and Scopo.
That's so mean.
Yeah.
House fire.
Yeah, no, they went viral in the first battle, and the second one was end up the rematch.
Why do we have to watch this?
Because you did a great job in this
one. But what do you call viral?
The Zach one?
They're almost 3 million views.
That's kind of viral.
What is it? What's the definition of viral?
I don't know if there's a definition, but if like to me at like 500,000 or more, I'd start going that way.
Depending on what it is, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I see some of these cooking things on Facebook that have 20 million fucking views, and all they're doing is making eggplant.
This is 2.5 million views. Go fast forward past me though. Go to where Zach and Karen are on stage.
I come in, I just take
can
over.
Can we show
sorry.
One where I do well?
I'm just
and,
a fucking
Lauren, make sure you're going to
Why don't we show mine in Scopo's
Holy
battle?
Shit. I feel like I'm never going to be able to get a boner because I'm standing next to you.
How did he
it's like a battle between the stripper and the bouncer.
They look like they could be on an island in a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Lewis, what happened?
That joke did it.
Good. Thank you, I think we get the gist.
Karen, how do you feel about your competition right here, Zach?
Right, fast forward a little bit more.
Zach, you're your first to defer.
Xbox you got nothing to be nervous about, Karen. 2 million people are going to see it.
Okay,
well,
Zach, I
his tits are way bigger than mine.
See, that's what I like. When she does that shit.
When she dances.
She's actually the I like her. Funniest one.
True. Like podcast. You're shaking your ass, Rich.
Not in a
like
sexual way.
The guy with the highest T-cell count on the AIDS floor.
Yeah, I don't like the joke part so much, but when you dance
you open
like
your
that,
mouth
that was really good.
It ends better. It ends good.
Maybe later you can give it to me.
Oh.
Every time I'm on this show, we watch fucking roast videos.
First of all, I don't like his
body.
I don't like his bouncing, fucking, his arrogance. I wish that tie was hanging from a rafter. I don't like...
The tie would rip, dude.
A rafter would come down.
Guys, Karen Feehan is a real pro. A lot of comics get butterflies in their stomach before they go on stage, but not Karen. Because all of her butterflies have drowned in black guys' cum.
All right, you can kill it. So, yeah, she got fucking, he got slaughtered in the battle.
That's his idea of dressing up.
Yeah.
He just looks like he just worked a shift at a restaurant.
Yeah.
At a restaurant, at a fucking, I can't think of anything.
Like a magic
shop. Somewhere
shop.
Funny.
Nice battle.
That's so, what it is. It's her stage persona. Yeah. Like, her
well,
persona.
Here's the thing. Like, you, in the first battle against Zach, He was the underdog. When you just look
how
at them on
the
because he's a big fat ugly guy and you're a little hot chick, right? So he's an underdog. The audience is rooting for him. But
no, I don't. What do you mean he's an underdog?
He ends up being the underdog.
But wait, are you saying hot as a comic or as
no.
You just
kind
of mean like physically. You just mean in life he's kind of the underdog.
I'm saying it's one of the reasons why this battle went viral. The narrative is this big fat nerdy guy is battling this hot fucking cool chick. And when I say it's an underdog in life, like that's a story about like, and that's it's titled nerdy comedian destroys hot comedian.
No,
you know
yeah, no, of course.
Right.
So,
but now it's switched though because now you got killed so bad in that last one. I feel like people are perceiving you as being the underdog now, going at Zach, who's this dude who's supposed to fucking kill you.
You're going against him again?
Yeah, in the first.
Now
round
here's
of the
why.
Battle.
Here's why I'm worried about you, Karen. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say you were a boxer. Right. And you got knocked out, and then you were fighting that guy again. And then Lewis was like, let's look at some of the tape. And you were like, no, this is so torturous for
you
me.
You don't think I've watched that
I'd be like, I don't think that guy should fight him again.
Yeah, but
so what are you going to do to take Zach Amico out this
don't
time?
Don't get in my head already.
See,
it's
do you
like,
understand why I'm betting on Zach Amico
he
now?
He does that to me all the time, though. Like, you psych me out. You make
wait,
me
when
nervous.
Did, hold on, when did I psych you out?
Before the battle with Caitlin.
And what happened?
I won.
I rest my case.
But wait a second. How could he of anybody do psych you out?
He just does. I get so nervous. I
but
like,
he is he's like a 0-0.
But I'm in love
you
with
know
him.
What I know. I mean, I really do like him. But
Rich, remember that one bit you like? No, listen. Yes. She, Karen, Karen respects me. Okay, what may seem like a 0.0 to a legend like yourself. Okay, you're not actually measuring what my Fox News poll.
Listen, no, I think you're good on red eye when I can't sleep.
he puts it on to lull himself to sleep.
Do you think maybe next time, and this is none of my business, that roast battle can maybe keep the judging down to 3 or 4?
Oh my God, yeah.
Or maybe just an odd number.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 6 was so many. Seven. I mean, 7, because Yamika's 2. So.
Yamika.
Oh, yeah.
You just
whatever.
Took a syllable out of her name.
Right, because I don't have great. Time. I got a spot. I got to rush through this. And I like her. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan.
You had the line of the night that night when she said, "Oh, I can't talk because I ate an edible." And you said, "Oh." You said, "What was it, a meatloaf?" That's the funniest thing. I fell out of my chair.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's so fun and mean. It's just
you love the shows. You come and you judge them almost every time now.
I'll judge every week if I could if I'm in town, because that's what I like to do. That's us hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's also like everyone's working on their act. It's nice to kind of step aside and just. It's like Mike Vecchione described it best. It is. It's just. It's like an exercise in writing. You know, you get to really just kind of sharpen those skills. And you know, it's very bulbous. It's very New York. I know L.A. started it, but it has a New York vibe to it.
Okay, L.A. started. You know, enough with. Look, when I do comedy 101, see, here's the problem with comedy 101 and roast battles. Comedy 101, you can hit a buzzer and stop them right in the middle. So it's hard when you're doing roast battles to your mindset is, let's trash these motherfuckers right from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you got to let them, you know, fucking establish who they are, get some jokes out before, you know, you can tack them before they go on, but you got to let them get some stuff out. But on 101, it's boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know, and I read some stuff, and I'm sure.
Yeah, Tony Hinchcliffe was pissed. Said,
yeah, well, guess what?
Yeah.
You know what? We were doing that fucking show
at the comic strip.
At the comic strip.
Yeah. When I auditioned
six years ago.
Longer than that.
7.
When I auditioned, it was probably 8 or 9 years ago.
Patrice was one of the judges.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know his show, and I don't know him. I just saw him on a clip saying that, first of all, Ron would never steal anything.
Yeah. Ron is one of the most original voices in comedy, one of the coolest guys. So comedy positive as well, supports everybody in comedy.
So I'm not, I don't know this guy. All I did was see the clip or listen to him on Rogan, and that's been done fucking.
So what was he complaining about? He was saying that you guys took his idea?
You can play it. You can probably find that clip of him talking about it on Rogan. Tony Hinchcliffe was on Rogan's show with Brian Redband, and I've done both Comedy 101 and I did Kill
Tony.
And
both those guys have been on Legion.
Yeah, and I've done Kill Tony as well, and they're both great shows. It literally is just two guys came up with similar ideas. And like I said, if anyone's going to complain, the comic strip can go. What the fuck are you talking about? It was the exact same format, and it was a web show. They taped it for the web back in the day, and you do your audition, and then the comedy judges will tear you a new one.
And we turned them to a new one as they were going along.
It's American Idol. It's Last Comic Standing. It's every.
Yeah. Yes.
You're just taking that and put it into a club. I think Tony. Look, I think at the end of the day, it's something that's a very popular podcast in that format. So I think he was just kind of like, "Hey, I'm doing this," and it rubbed him the wrong way that somebody else was doing something similar. But I know for a fact, I was there for the first Comedy 101. Yeah. Nobody ripped anybody off. It just came. It came.
You just can't really, no matter what you are, even if someone did something like. Someone always did an idea like this before that and before that. No one owns the idea of doing a show like
it's
that.
Anything.
And it's also the voices of the comedians that kind of, you know, you take whatever format, it's Ron's funny that makes it Comedy 101. It's a very different show than Kill Tony. And Kill Tony's an amazing fucking show. Dude, you would do it and you would have a fucking
blast. I would love to do it.
Blast. Yeah. It's such a great show.
Me and Bonnie, our podcast, you know, we're a husband and wife, and we told Tom Segura and his wife to cease and assist. Is that it? Cease and desist. The husband and wife thing. Even though they did it before us. We know that. We told them, on our podcast, I don't care what you're doing. I'm sure it's real nice homemaking stuff, but we're having real fights here. Stop. Yeah. And then we challenged them to a tennis match. Okay? Now, it was real funny, but the thing is, they don't own a husband. They were first. They don't own a husband and wife podcast. Yeah. We do one. Jenna Elfman or whatever does one with her husband. So everything has been fucking done.
Exactly. Right. But like what Lewis is saying, it's about how who the people are and how good the thing is. Yes. I mean, if you look at like Tough Crowd, that was a great show because of who the comics were. There's been a lot of shows where they've had a format of people sitting around bullshitting.
By the way, this is Comics Unleashed. This is Tough Crowd. What are you talking about? This is the same thing. Yes. We're on camera, a bunch of comics talking about social issues and politics. It's, you know, that format.
No, this isn't Tough Crowd. Yeah, I can understand the host.
No, Tough Crowd, like people say, well, Bill Maher was first. But Tough Crowd opened up the door for comics to go on TV and trash each other in the middle of politics and pop culture, right? In the middle of it, we would just start smashing each other.
It was such a, like,
it was almost a roast and a pop culture show together.
To compare it to Bill Maher's thing, it was like Bill Maher was such a Hollywood version of that. Like, Bill Maher was like celebrities, like, pretending this is what a green room conversation would be about. Tough Crowd was like an actual green room conversation.
Rich, why hasn't Colin brought that show back?
Maybe because there's nowhere to land it. You can't bring it back unless it's picked up.
Nobody would want to pick up.
Yeah, you fucking jerk off.
I think I understand the goddamn concept, but I mean, they wouldn't want
to
fucking.
He talks to you like you're an asshole.
I know, really. No, put him in the fucking bathroom. Jesus.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Here, no, you did.
No, listen, stupid. Listen.
Fucking asshole. I love Rich so much. See, this would have been a good episode.
No, what I'm trying to say, middle. In the middle of what I'm trying to say, I didn't mean to call you middle.
Gotcha.
Colin's moved on. That was 10 years ago. Colin has done how many one-man shows that are all brilliant? You know, it was great in the moment, but
and
it's so
many
harsh.
People. I watched Keith the Cop pitch Colin in the an elevator pitch in front of me, trying to get him to bring.
Was it as uncomfortable as just listening to you describe this?
It was uncomfortable. Trying to get him to bring to Compound Media. By the way, he just has no. I don't think Colin likes doing podcasts.
Can I also say, like, just back in with? I remember when the two guys I feel like got it the most were Colin about Tough Crowd and Attell about Insomniac. We always be like, when are you going to bring this back? And the whole reason those two guys are great comics is because they don't have the mentality of, let me go do the last thing I did again. They're trying to do some new shit. That's the same reason why. How many times have you heard Dave Attell doing a fucking joke from 10 years ago? Yeah. Why the fuck would he go do his show from 10 years ago?
You can't recreate history.
Of course. I wouldn't see Colin on it, but I could see him like producing it and letting like younger, you know what I mean? Because it would essentially be like a podcast.
I mean, there's so many of those exist. Now, I was saying this recently. It's like you look at The View. Oh, dude, just literally shut your eyes. The View is just a podcast. Like, if you look
at Legion of Skanks. The View.
It's these old bitches sitting around a table having a conversation. Yeah. If you just close your eyes, what is it? It's just a fucking podcast.
Yeah.
It's all kind of like.
All of TV, if you just close your eyes.
That's pretty
what
much
is this? More than a podcast that you can see.
But if you really think about it, all podcasts are. Is just a fucking verbal episode of The View, because The View was before every fucking podcast.
I know.
So, and those talks, those, you know, but Bill Marshall was not at all like Tough Crowd, because they would just argue politics and the liberal audience would just, you know, fucking pander to whatever left wing fucking clown was on that show. But Colin's show had a mixture of very, very passionate conservatives and very, very passionate liberals. And they would go at it, and the audience wasn't leaning towards one way. The audience
wanted to laugh.
Yeah, and Colin didn't make it about Colin.
Yeah.
He let it be about his guests. Yes.
Rich, if you could bring one guy back from the dead, Patrice or Greg Giraldo, go. You get to choose.
Oh, God.
From the dead?
Yeah.
My career. that's creepy. I mean, I was good friends with Patrice. I was way close. I mean, hello, goodbye with Giraldo, friends. But I mean, I would talk to Patrice on the phone for an hour, 2 hours some nights.
Giraldo.
I've
got more to learn from Greg.
I don't know. I mean,
like, I kind of got everything I got from Patrice.
Yeah, that
already.
Ship sailed. No, you can't redo the past, you know, to quote
I mean,
you.
Giraldo was great. He's a the best roaster out of all of them. If
he,
you
was but, he was by far the best.
I love him so much, man.
But I just did an article today in some newspaper, and every time Patrice, the first word out of my mouth is Patrice when they're talking about Patrice, and then I'll go Stanhope. You know, when I'm talking about fucking great.
Oh,
great
Stanhope
comics.
Is still alive. Actually.
No, but I'm talking about great comics.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And Patrice, Stanhope. These are guys, you know, Colin, that you leave the fucking show and you'll go, you know about them, you know how they feel. And don't get me wrong, there's great comics that do just jokes, and you're going, man, that's a great joke. That was written, that structure is funny. But you leave the show, you go, oh, he was funny. But when you leave a fucking Stanhope or a Patrice show or Colin or DePaulo, you know what I mean, DePaulo, you know something about them.
They're more than like, it's almost more than being a stand-up comedian. Those were the guys who like something would happen and you'd almost like, you'd want to hear their take on it. Like, I remember that was one of the things after Patrice died, when these things, when they made that video, for whatever reason, this just stuck out with me. When they made that catcalling video that was about a chick, this white chick walking through the hood, getting black dudes catcalling her, I was like, motherfucker, I would just love to hear Patrice just nail this right now. He would just rip this apart. And it was more than just an ability to write jokes. It was like the fuck, you just wanted to hear what that dude's opinion was. And
the best was when you can make Patrice laugh so hard, you know. And I've seen comics do it, and you watch him. He had such a laugh that generated throughout the, you know, his aggressiveness and his bulliness and his meanness didn't even come close to his fucking electrifying laugh if he thought something was funny. And I've been in rooms where he just fucking fell off the chair laughing at somebody, and it was electrifying watching that. Everybody goes, well, he was so mean, he was this and that. God, shut up. He had his own demons. It was a wall. He's gonna fucking beat you down like we all are, just to fucking hide whatever's fucking destroying us. Do you get what I'm saying?
Right.
Patrice had his own demons, but if
not
you look
Pete. Pete doesn't have demons. He's got a pretty sweet life.
He has
life.
A fireman that touched him under a blanket. You know what I mean? Okay. So
my dad left on Christmas.
Anyhow, listen.
To go get more toys. He came back. Yay!
Here's the deal, folks.
High five, family.
Yeah. Last, you can still do this real quick. I got to run. You can still get 141 IQ on iTunes. My fourth great CD, 141 on iTunes. But in a week or two
when
weeks,
did you, hold on, when did you release 141 IQ?
Here's the deal with 141.
You just released this fucking CD.
I'm going to tell you what's
and you're
going
releasing
on.
Another CD right
let me,
now.
Let me explain it real quick and then on. I'll get out. 141 IQ was done 2 years ago. I made it 2 years ago. And I was selling it at clubs. And then I had a deal with Sirius. Sirius was buying it outright for 3 years, 1 year exclusive. Now the deal, it took 7 months to put the deal together. So that's 2 years in with the CD already out, or a year and a half with the CD out. Sirius, no, maybe a year with the CD out. Then the deal with Sirius, the exclusive deal was up in July. So I said, well, let me put it on iTunes for people that didn't get it. So it was out. It's been out for, they had it for a year. It's been out for 2 years. So that 2 years, why it was going through.
The amount of time you're taking to explain this, another CD just dropped for Richard.
It's hard to explain. The 2 years it took for me to put it out through Sirius and have them have it for, was working on my next CD.
Yeah.
Which is ready, and it's already done. I'm just waiting for the copies and to get it on Sirius and iTunes. This was a delay. This was just, the 141 IQ was just for people that don't have
Sirius. I just remember a couple months ago debuting in the top five on iTunes.
No, number one.
Still the top five.
There was nothing, yes, top five. It was pretty accurate, Rich.
Okay, and the one
you
before.
Said top 100.
Listen to me.
Top 200 iTunes.
Listen, and the one before, still empty inside, was number one. Okay, this one's going to be number one. I'm going to have three number one CDs on iTunes. You know why? Because I work hard. I work hard.
Right. Hillary, you have 2 minutes to rebuttal.
did she not seem like every girlfriend that said, okay, I'm keeping the dog. Get out. You know, I know it's your house, but you're going to have to move. She seemed like every girlfriend that's done that to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen.
Rich Voss, guys.
Thank you for having me,
buddy.
Rich Voss.
Thank you. CD number five. It's called Rich Voss, Roman numeral 5, week 2 weeks. I'm out.
Killer man.
All right, do you guys want to do these plugs now?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Later, buddy.
Later, boss. Bye.
All right, let's get these plugs out of the way. YKWD podcast. Rich Voss, always happy to have him here, guys. DraftKings, guys. DraftKings at DraftKings.com. You don't need to come in first place to cash in. The player who finished 800th in week one's biggest fantasy football contest took home hundreds of bucks. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge fantasy contest with over $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick one contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. Renew old rivalries with friends, family, and coworkers to find out who the superior GM really is. Whatever your level of fantasy expertise, DraftKings has something for everyone. Now, don't wait. Go to DraftKings.com now and choose your players for this weekend's contest. Enter promo code Kelly and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code Kelly to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend. Only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Little fucking fantasy football action. And let's get this. Casper mattresses, guys. I don't know if you guys heard of this.
By the way, that read was shorter than Rich's last story.
Made less money.
Go to richvoss.com and use a promo code Wrap It Up for a dollar off his CD. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house, has a sleek design, and is delivered in a small how-do-they-do-that-size box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing the savings directly to the consumer. An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams for a sleepy surface that's got just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. Mattresses can cost well over $1,500, but Casper mattress costs only $500 for a twin-size mattress, $600 for a twin XL, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, and $950 for a king. That's like half the price of a mattress. It's crazy.
What?
Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to be spending a third of your life on it. Is that how long we keep mattresses?
I think so.
A third of our life we're supposed to keep a mattress?
A third of your life you sleep.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. There we go. I thought you'd buy one mattress for 30 years. What? Like, really? What garbage you are that's where your mind went. Is that? Yeah, that sounds about right. I guess a third of your life. I had my last mattress for about 33 years. So. I guess I'm this way. But. Yeah. I got another 20 years of my mattress. This is nuts.
Sweet.
The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. I'm reading this all again, guys. I know this is not right.
Yeah,
no,
I was like,
right.
Are you starting over?
No. They told me that I have to read every single part of it.
Bobby
this.
Likes to read the whole thing.
Okay, all right, I'm going to do it. Are you just trying to make Voss's story sound shorter? Time Magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015, an award-winning mattress that won't disappoint. Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Made in America. And let's see. Please note that this offer is only applicable to the purchase of the mattress. Okay, yeah. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/dude and using the code dude. Okay, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
That was terrible.
If you bought a mattress at the start of this, you already need a new one.
That's a lot. I'm going to be honest with you guys. You guys should have come up with a better system.
That's not us. It's them.
It sounds
like an awesome mattress.
It does actually sound. By the way, we're supposed to say that. Do you have one?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get it because of Bobby?
No.
You got it before.
I got it before.
Chris Scopo joins the show, everyone.
Hey,
Chris Scopo.
All that ass.
Why? How'd you hear about a Casper mattress, and why'd you buy it?
I just heard about it, and I was like, I needed a new mattress for my apartment when I moved in.
And what size do you have?
I have a queen.
Yeah. I don't know. Dude, have you slept on a fucking twin mattress? You have a full size, right?
It's a queen.
That's not a queen.
How do you guys know?
Are you fucking crazy?
Wait, did you get angry at him for pointing out that you guys are fucking, and then you went, so you have a full mattress, right? Now, how do you share that with another person, and why do you always wake up before 7?
Right there, I was like, I'm off the hook, right?
Why do you fucking snore with your eyes open?
Also, okay, so let's just keep the podcast moving. Karen, are you fucking anybody else? Because
circle yes or no.
Shit.
Yes. No, it's only a full feels full size when you're in it because you're so big. When I'm there, it feels very big.
No. You think that's a queen size mattress?
Yes.
You're out of your fucking skull. You have a little shitty.
Yeah, but Karen's a much smaller person than you.
Yeah.
She's so literally proportionately to like what it's like. I'm fucking like almost 6'3". If I'm on a fucking mattress like that, I'm like fucking hanging off the ends of it. But if I was teeny, I'd be all like.
Yeah, but Dave, you need just a really long mattress. You don't need a wide mattress.
No, you fucking retard. I have arms, okay? It doesn't matter how fat
how
you are.
How do you sleep out? You sleep like a fucking...
You need room.
You're making
your
a snow
shit.
Angel.
If I was tiny, I wouldn't need a big fucking mattress. Whether you're skinny or not, if you could be 7'5 and fucking 100 pounds, you're still going to need a huge bed.
Can I tell you, Dave? Because I've been fat and I've been in shape. It's a big difference when you're wider.
The first one's like 90% of the time.
I just think that Dave's argument is like, yeah, what's the wingspan on this mattress?
Yeah.
Dave's got the wingspan of a bald eagle.
Yeah.
Dave just sleeps with chicks, like multiple chicks under each arm. That's why he's spread out.
Yeah. Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Karen's answer.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, but I can't. I mean, sleeping on a small bed with another person is just a fucking
nightmare. You know what
it's a goddamn nightmare.
I hate when a girl tries to snuggle with me.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
Well, this is a... wait, hold on.
Should we leave?
I'm a liar? Are you kidding? When I'm sleeping?
What are you talking about?
All your demons are finally coming out.
There we go. You be Big Spoon.
Do you really say that?
No.
You say you be Big Spoon.
I'm 5'1". I'm like climbing.
No, I agree with Lewis. I like being cuddled sometimes.
Shut up for a second. Does Lewis say you be Big Spoon?
All the time.
Oh, dude, that's not true.
I've never said the words you be Big Spoon.
Dude,
I hate...
No,
I say...
He got mad at manspreading.
Hold on. I say snuggle with my butt.
I sometimes have sex to get to the snuggling. I love it so much.
You really do.
You muscle through the fucking.
I love it. Yeah, just fucking give it to her real good so she can sleep.
Oh yeah, this is great. Hurry up.
No, I really do. Like,
you know why? I get hot, right? So after I'm done, like even if I'm not having sex, like just when I'm going to sleep, I start to get a little bit hot, and I want to like. Just push away.
Yeah. I hate that no matter where, fucking, no matter what happens, but whenever I wake up for the first time in the middle of the night, I'm always on the fucking edge of the bed, and the chick's like right next to me over here with like 80% here. And it's always because like I started cuddling her here, and then I rolled this far over, and then like she followed me and followed me. It's always
you gotta like type
like,
over
here.
You gotta
like, all right, Jesus, what are we doing?
Pop back
like,
over there.
Yeah, and then you have to, it's.
Yeah. No, I mean, Emily and I, we had auditions today, and I had a shoot, and then we went back to my apartment, and, like, she just, like, snuggled up against me, and the warmth of her body just put me out. Yeah. So I fell asleep until, like, 7:30 p.m. because I was snuggled.
Really?
Yeah.
I sleep so much worse.
No, I hate it. I hate it.
Dude, you fall asleep. You wake
just dreaming, just having a dream of your face pressed against the window on Christmas morning, looking for your dad.
Watching dad leave, staring at footprints. When there was one set of footprints in the snow, it was mom, because you left.
running out of your dad's car. You piece of shit.
Just, but what about when there was only one set of footprints, Pop? How the fuck would I know, kid?
Quit bugging me.
I don't know. Figure it out, faggot.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. I'm not a snuggler. So, Lauren, you don't like snuggling either.
No. Yeah. I had a guy recently try and snuggle me. It was too big, and it's like suffocating.
Lauren, that's rape.
To get the fuck off of you.
Snuggle
it's gay,
rape.
It's gay if a guy tries to go in your nook. I stopped sleeping with one guy because he tried to cuddle up in my nook. And
what?
I'm too little. I know. I don't even have a nook to spare.
What? Yeah, like, what could you even fit in there?
Yeah,
like,
I just remember I never went to sleep either. I was just staring at him. I'm never going to see this guy again.
No, he threw his leg over me, and I'm just like, dude, I can't handle
his
body.
It gets too hot.
Yeah.
I get hot. And I'm like, I got to get away.
Yeah, and then I can't sleep, and then I just get the fuck out of there.
I also, by the way, I'm not even against, like snuggling for a little. I'm just saying to sleep like that.
No, right. You can't. Issue
for
me.
We can
no.
snuggle no. for 15
yeah,
minutes.
Like, let's, yeah. let's fucking
then
watch
get the
a
fuck
movie.
Away.
Like, let's watch a movie and fucking cuddle.
Sex and cuddling and then sleeping.
Yes.
Two different
yes.
things.
I think there should be like a transition. It should
right,
go from
like,
fucking, cuddle for a little bit. I'm fine with that.
That was
but
great.
Then it's like,
thank
let's
you
no,
very
no, no,
much.
No, no. I
let's
go the
see.
Opposite. I go cuddle, then sneak my finger inside of her while she's cuddling. Then we fuck, then get away. That's because your story started with a girl saying, I'm definitely not going to fuck you, okay?
Let's just cuddle, baby.
but like cuddling, watching a movie or something like that, like that's fucking
no. I
great.
Can't fall asleep without a dick inside me.
Can't. It's like Somonex.
She also can't wake up without a dick inside. Yeah. Like, it puts her out and then brings her back to life.
Ooh, coffee.
Good morning.
Do you, Fenoy? You're married.
I don't. I'm here though 5 nights
What's
a week.
What's going on with that? Is that are you? You? I don't know. I don't really ever talk to you about your like wife and shit. That
We've
has
been,
to be ending at one point, right?
Not. And I don't. It won't. It just won't. It's like a. It's,
statistically, it will.
It's like
I'm here to
Seinfeld.
Tell you it
it's
will.
Just I don't know what's repeat or what.
It's just kind of.
It's always like the Bronx. The nights you can't leave.
Yeah, that's it. No. So we have 5 nights a week. I'm here.
Yeah, but I used to live
I
with Jay.
Home.
That guy cuddles.
I go
no problem.
Too much. I know. I have to fucking audibly cuddle with their. Fucking guest cuddling that they do fucking every yeah. night they bring somebody
I feel like
new.
Mike just has to make small talk with whoever's there to bang Jay and Christine.
I just have one pillow over my head just shaking.
So you're in school? That, cool.
I'm right. like, so do you like stuff?
I just
toothpaste?
Imagine that Christine snores with her laugh.
Oh, God. So many people moved out of my building because of Christine's snoring. No, dude, it's, yeah, we're still
so great,
going
Jay.
Strong.
Jay does no wrong.
I'm going to kill him one day. It'll all be mine. Sleep with one eye open, Carla.
Your wife must feel pretty secure that if you ever did even bring a girl home to your apartment, that Christine and Jay would fuck her.
Yeah, seriously. It's like bringing a fucking
hijacker.
It's like bringing a fly to a spider web. They're going to get her first. No, my wife and I, 3 years now of living separately, hanging out a day a week. And it's amazing. And we're still going. Every now and then we're like, should we end it? And we're like, no, let's just keep it up. It's going all right. And she actually.
Are you still in love and love?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Dude, he's got a really healthy weekend marriage.
What's wrong with that? It's fucking great. I love it.
That's better than any relationship I've ever met.
You know how many people
I
know?
I bet the sex is probably great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. You know, you guys aren't getting annoyed with each other because you just spend so little time with each other.
You're getting annoyed with each other.
I see her. Yeah. I've got it down to like I'm working every day on the show, and then I'm doing spots at night, and then Friday night late I drive home.
Yeah,
we hang out Saturday and half a Sunday, and I come back to the city and do it all again the next week.
Can I tell you, I'm giving you shit. That sounds like the ideal relationship
yeah.
to me.
It's amazing.
It literally sounds like the
it really is great.
You don't have to get in her tiny fucking bed all the time while she's trying to call
if
it a queen size.
Dude, if I could literally get down on one knee to a woman and go, baby, I love you and I want to marry you. Now hear me out. I'm going to live with Big J. But we can totally make a run of this thing on the weekend.
You know what's kind of funny, too, is she was like, you know what? If it was guys I didn't know, it's no big deal. But since it's Jay, it's totally cool.
Jay is
and
worse than
like,
anyone
well,
you don't know.
That's what's hilarious
okay?
about it. It was like, it could have been like Joe List and fucking, you know, like
yeah.
anybody. But it turned out she's like, oh, I know Jay. I love Jay. Like, they like each other a ton. Like, they want her to hang out more because it'd be fun to do shit, but yeah. she's busy doing her thing.
Dude, they're trying to fuck
we're
your
having
wife.
A great...
They're
know.
Trying to
yeah.
fuck your wife.
That's why. How do you think I never invite her down here? She's like, maybe the four of us. I'm like, don't ever say that again. No,
they're trying to get in on your weekend National Guard marriage. Did I win the gift card?
You should.
I think you just named the gift episode, card. Too.
Yo, I got to rock and roll, but before
ahead.
I go, if it's cool, could I, I'm going to be recording
yes.
an album, and
yeah.
I wanted to talk about it, because I'm doing something a little bit different. I'm going to be doing November 11th and 12th. I'm recording an album at Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington.
And when you say you're doing something different, what do you mean?
Well, so what we're doing is...
No
I'm
comedy.
Using, yeah, it's just no laughs throughout the whole... I'm using all local Burlington, Vermont elements to make the album. So I hired... I don't know if you can bring up, like, MikeFenoya.com. I have a picture. An artist, Bruno Tracy from Burlington, made the poster art, and he's doing the album artwork. I'm using Tank Studios from Burlington for the recording, the mixing, the editing, like, the pressing. We're donating $2 from every ticket sold to the Waterwheel Foundation, which is a Burlington, Vermont charity that gives, like, money to like local charities to help raise, you know, for kids. And if you scroll,
I heard that's
up,
a Ponzi scheme, though.
What do you want to do?
Yeah, if you go back to home, mm-hmm. and then scroll, that's the poster the kid made for the. Look how fucking cool that is. It's nice. A syrup bottle hiking around Burlington. My silhouette is up in the moon up there.
Yeah, you really are a fucking pothead.
Yeah, it's a mushroom thing. But and then on November 11th is Veterans Day, so we're doing a free show for all the veterans in Burlington. So everybody can come and like enjoy the show for free. But what I wanted to do was utilize all the local talent in Burlington and try to... So then when people come, not only are they going to a show... But they'll be able to, they're giving back to like local community. 14th Star Brewery is sponsoring it as well. It's going to be pretty much all local openers and shit like that. We're going to use a local pressing for the albums. I just think it's kind of cool to why not just utilize all the resources in that city. Nate and Natalie Hartswick are the owners of the club. It's a fucking beautiful club. And it's a lot of great people up there. And I think it's kind of neat to, like, you know, why not utilize people that, you know the area and give back to the,
you know,
fucking community.
This album is so Vermont, it's vegan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's all local stuff.
A lot of turkey bacon, a lot of fucking...
Well, I've actually been to Burlington, Vermont. It's a really fucking beautiful area.
It's a cool town.
I went there right before I had my son with my ex, and we just did, like, a winter vacation in Burlington,
it's
Vermont.
It's fucking great, right?
Rented, like, you know, what do they call them? Like a bed and breakfast type thing,
yep.
And just fucking awesome. Just like really, like just what a cool concept a bed and breakfast is. I don't know if you've ever done it. It's like you go, you show up at like this like old timey fucking mansion type place.
I stayed at
what?
What? There's a bed.
There's a bed. They serve
and
sleep
there's breakfast
and food. Imagine if one you get oxygen in this bitch, you got a party. I can't stand. I literally can't stand Dave Smith. I don't know why I asked him to be on this show. I should have fucking went
he
with
was
Joe
your
Lynch.
First choice.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Alright, Mike Fenoy, guys, make sure if you're in the Burlington,
much.
Vermont area,
yeah.
check out
thank
his show,
so
and also
much,
buy
guys.
His album when it's available. I'm sure he'll be back on YKWD to promote that. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good
thank
night,
you.
Brother. Thank you very much.
Peace.
So, I wanted to I want to talk about a couple more things. Do we have any chat comments right now?
Yeah.
Deepu?
Yeah. Real Big Dummy says, you know what show we should bring back? Opie Radio.
Opie Radio.
Got
yeah.
canceled yesterday, apparently.
Was it officially canceled?
It's not officially canceled. I just read something about it.
No.
Opie yes. Radio on Sirius got canceled?
Like, he's
it
done?
Didn't, no, it didn't get canceled.
That's
he,
not
he
right.
tweeted out saying he's no longer doing morning radio, and I know he tweeted out that Jim and Sam are doing a show together, and I've heard rumblings about that for a while as well, and it looks like that's going to be the case. I think Opie's going to stick around, you know, and do his own show in the afternoon. That's what I've heard.
I couldn't imagine... That that Opie won't be doing a radio show for yep. Sirius going yep. up for the next few years. Opie's, I mean, people on Reddit like to give different people in this game like a lot of shit or talk about who's doing good or bad. Opie's one of the biggest people at Sirius Radio.
Yeah.
You go there, it's like this fucking huge
in
building.
The history of
it's
Sirius.
A multi-million dollar yeah. company. He is one of the biggest personalities they have. He's making a shit ton of money. For yeah. all the people who think Opie's not doing well, he's fucking killing it. And I just couldn't possibly imagine he wouldn't be a part of that
we'll
team.
We'll see. I mean, yeah, who knows? We'll see what happens. I don't know. I know the fans are fucking... But yeah, talk about Opie. I'm just not... I'm not really into gossiping about
other...
No.
I don't even want to, it's like a thing where...
It's
too,
weird.
Look, I'm with you. I'm not trying to gossip about other dudes, too. But there's been a thing, even from when like we first went to the Kumia Network, when Skanks went over there, and that was like when they were really feuding. It was really like the week we signed was the week he did that tell-all episode
yeah.
and was like shitting on Opie. And people were like, oh... And it's like, okay, so what exactly do you want me to say about Opie? Here's my take. Him and Ant created one of the greatest radio shows of all time.
Yeah, I don't.
I
know
respect
the
shit out of him.
I don't know.
Never
the guy
met Opie.
Well.
I know Ant very well. He's a good friend. Never met Opie. Respect the shit out of him for creating that show. That's the gossip I've
yeah.
got.
Well, they want you to shit on Opie, Anthony, Jim, whoever. It's a cheap trick. I watch people doing that all the time. I watch people like, you know, I don't want to name names. Esther Koo. They go on Reddit and then they feed the people on Reddit and the things they want them to say.
You used to do that shit though. You used to go on Reddit a lot.
No, I go on Reddit to this day, but I don't feed them. I could literally go on a show right now and be like, dude, fucking Opie's got tits and he fucking doesn't know how to do radio and fucking Jim's a cuck. And then there'd be a post tomorrow on the Opie and Anthony subreddit about how I'm the fucking man and I'm telling like it is. Amy Schumer's a fucking pig. Oink, 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 oink. Literally.
literally, I mean that one. That was that had nothing to do with what I was saying. No, but like literally, that's what they want you to do. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm just not into fucking being that guy. Because I don't give a shit. I'm not like a fanboy of other people's shows. I don't listen to other people's shows. I listen to my own shows.
You're creating. You're not consuming.
Better. Exactly. All fucking day, Pete Lee. Boom, thank you very
boom,
much.
Boom.
Karen Feehan has a new show, new podcast with Micah Fox.
Yeah, I do.
On the Gas Digital Network.
Yep.
Shame On.
Yep.
And what's the concept, Karen?
We just shame on different people. We shamed moms. This week we shamed nerds. Next week we're going to just shame poor people. It's just like different groups. We just kind of sit there and shit on them.
So we have, see, here's the thing. This is what I like about the show. In today's culture, it's a very anti-shame thing. You're not supposed to shame.
PC.
You're not supposed to fat shame.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There's two things.
What are you doing that?
There's, I didn't know that.
There's two things that are I don't know how to say, but like kind of like beliefs or things you're not supposed to do that are
taboo.
Prevalent, that are completely anti-comedy to me. And one of them is the idea that you're not supposed to shame certain, you know, groups.
You're not supposed to punch down.
And that's right. And the idea that there's supposed to be this
and
nobility
everybody,
in comedy.
Everyone can, if you wanted to break it down, everyone can give you the perspective as to why they're less fortunate than others. So literally making fun of anybody in the world is technically punching down,
but
depending on the perspective.
That is absolutely, it is this this mix of like activism trying to force itself on comedy. What funny has been about has never, like, punching up or down has nothing to do with comedy. From the beginning of, like Shakespeare would always make, his comedies were always related to tragedy. It wasn't punching up. It was like some fucking horrible shit happened to some poor fucking sucker, and there's comedy in that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I do like that your podcast really is with, it's like in the same direction as the instinct of funny.
Yeah.
To fucking shame everybody.
That's exactly
it. And we shit on ourselves, too. Like, we're both messes. We're both, like, we're going to do, like, a slut-shaming episode. But, like, I'm a huge slut, so it's going to be
know.
Fun.
Yeah. Lewis cries about it all the time.
Don't I know it. Snuggle with my butt, you whore.
Well, yeah, like, it's weird that we're not supposed to shame people, but everybody hates people that are shameless.
Yeah.
Like, we all hate them.
Yeah.
I also, you know what I never got about the anti-slut shaming thing? Was that they'd go like, I get the complaint. I mean, it seems like a high school complaint, but I get the complaint of like, oh, a guy gets his dick sucked and he's the man, but a girl sucks dick and she's a whore, you know, being against that double standard or whatever. But why would the instant answer be, we shouldn't shame the slut? Like, maybe we should shame both of them.
Exactly,
maybe we should shame them half as much.
Well,
maybe we should just, like, meet the shame here. Why would the answer be, like, so there should just be zero shame?
Well, we have like, a culture where we're giving everybody a trophy and everybody's special and everybody's... It's like, no. You should have a certain amount of shame for certain things. Like, I've had sex with strangers in bathrooms at clubs, right? I should be ashamed of
that. It was a week ago you told me not to tell Karen.
They should be ashamed of
that. That's also true. No, but I...
Karen, give it one more shot. I should be ashamed
shut
of
up,
that.
Shut up.
But you get what I'm saying? Like there should be a certain amount of shame for that. If I'm just fucking shoving candy bars into my face every single day, I should be ashamed of that behavior. That's an embarrassing behavior.
He was eating donuts on the way here, and I grabbed the package and threw them on the ground.
Yeah.
Wait. He went and picked them up.
You ate them?
You ate them?
You ate them?
Hold on.
Them.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Them.
That's why I wasn't
next on shame on Luis J. Gomez.
No, first of all, I didn't eat the donuts that touched the ground. I ate the donuts that didn't touch the ground.
They all touched the ground.
Did you do 5 second rule?
And it was a cheat day.
It was sitting on the cylinder. Right? Isn't that a Seinfeld?
No, first of all, go fuck yourself. But I agree with you, and I think that the show. I really
the point
think
you
it's
were making is
show.
You should be ashamed of that.
Yeah, I should be ashamed of that. I really should be. You know, and we for some reason we're like, no, that's okay. You're allowed to shove donuts into your face, even though you have a fucking food addiction. No, I should be ashamed of that. And it all came from you being on that Whitney Way Thor show where you were the fat shaming comedian.
Thank you.
And this is kind of where you guys birthed the idea of the show, which I love. And you and Mike are hilarious together. You're legitimately like little cunts, which I love, and I think people, it's a breath of fresh air, whereas I think a lot of female comedians today are just like, everyone's friends, we're all supportive of each other, and it's like, that's just not what, the way most female comedians are, talking and acting. When you guys, you had your mom's episode, what did you guys shame about moms?
just how they're like annoying, and they like they like work out with their babies and they like use them as weights. We like showed a clip and I'm like, the only way I would watch that is if the title was "Watch Me Drop This Baby" or whatever. It's just like dumb. Just like, we called my mom and Micah just shat on her for like a long time because Micah's met my mom. Micah's come to my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom was good. My mom was funny.
Yeah, how did your mom take it?
She's great. She's like that's how I was brought up too. Like I always you shit on people that you love, you know, because you love them and you like find their insecurities and you exploit them and make them better people. I think I don't know. I think that's how life is.
I don't know, dude. There is a value to like, there's a value to sensitivity, and I don't know when like being sensitive is the right thing to do. We've all had moments in our lives where we're like, ah, there's a truth you could tell someone, but you don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't know exactly when you're supposed to, but there's also a value to honesty. Yeah. You know, like there's also a value to like the insensitive kind of truth of the situation, and
well,
I don't know where
things they
make,
like,
but if you're talking
like
about
Reddit or YouTube, those comments are great. They're horrible and they're great because the truth is, you want a real, unadulterated, honest view of who you are, right? So go to Reddit and search your name. You'll see how people fucking view you. You know what I'm saying?
They're animals.
Yeah, yeah, but here's the thing. They are, but are they really? It's like, no, you're kind of just getting the fucking review.
Well, the point I'm saying about honesty versus sensitivity is I just think there's different areas in life where you look for one or the other. Like, if someone's like a fucking hospice worker and they're dealing with people who are dying, I don't think you're really looking for like a hilarious, brutally honest person. You know, you want someone who's like sensitive and going to make them feel good. If you're talking about the fucking world of comedy, our job is not to be sensitive with any of this shit.
Agreed.
And fuck this like impulse of like of these activists who are like, you know, comedy should be a little bit more sensitive. There's a reason why none of that comedy's funny. Because that's not what funny is. Like, none of them. Who's the funny comic who's like that?
No.
I'm with you.
There was that ladies. There's two like lady comedy groups, but one of them like a girl, like her production company is like the name of this like secret ladies group, and she just added all these people to it. And I don't know what I was doing. Somebody tagged me in a comment, so I replied to it, and I was like, oh, I was talking about this kid, Eric I. Do you guys know who he is? He's like...
Yeah, I've heard of him,
yeah. Right? He's like a drug addict or whatever, and I'm like, oh, whatever. He's going to, like, do drugs and die soon. And, like, some people, like a lot of people actually liked it. And this chick that I've never met, I don't know who she is, wrote this, like, epitaph, like this long letter of like waving her finger at me, like, no, you shouldn't do that. What if he dies and all this stuff? And it was just like... What are you talking about? Like, I didn't know where I don't know how I got added to this group. I'm like, I thought that this was the funny group. I thought this was cool and fine.
Well, that's the thing. Those female, like, feminist power groups, they're just very anti-funny. You know, it's like they're, you know, and you said you had a friend who made a comment in that group where it's like you can't mix funny and, like, serious activism. Because the people that are taking that shit, they're going to take it very seriously. And any irony or any sarcasm, they're not going to hear it. They're going to take everything very literally.
You know what? I think, like, I don't know. Like, I'm a very political person. It's very serious.
None of it's funny.
I mean, I think the reason why I'm a funny stand-up and I can still, like, kind of insert that is that I kind of did stand-up for a while first. And it wasn't about, like, I didn't start stand-up to be an activist or anything like that. So it's kind of like, Ted Alexandro...
You came up underneath some of the funniest people in the world, and you knew, oh, I have to fucking kill. I have to kill every time I get on stage.
And forget kill. It's not even a matter of kill, dude. I mean, obviously, you have to kill. That's a big part of what being a stand-up comedian is. But it's be funny. It's not about making my point. Now, if going along with my point, I can find something hilariously ridiculous about the other side, then great. But it's not just about making my point. And then the left has this thing where it's like, we'll pretend that's funny because we agree with your point. Yeah. So we'll be like, Ann Coulter's stupid. And we'll go, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, Ann Coulter. Did you see how hard I laughed? But you're like, you're not really laughing. That's not really funny. You're trying to make a point right now. And this is why Ted Alexandro is amazing, and he can talk about police brutality and be funny with it, because he did 20 years of just being a funny comedian, not thinking about activism, then became an activist, and then can go, let me sprinkle some of this shit in here. But when chicks try to get up there and lecture you about how you're not laughing as hard because she's a girl,
one of the things in this group today that I noticed, because Karen had it open on her computer.
No, I didn't.
He
has the password.
He was on, like,
by the way, for any of the females
in the ladies' group, so fast. He's like, where is it?
every one of
he
these ladies' groups.
Inviting other comics.
What
no,
have
there
I, been I invited? I invited myself. I invited Metzger. I invited Michael Che.
That's funny.
That's amazing.
They didn't like
That's
hate
awesome.
Me before.
Oh, she, you have to be banned from the group now. Because
I would be shocked if I.
One remember. Of the things, this fucking no-name comic, this chick, literally, I've never even heard her name before, but she posted a screen grab from Gotham, and it was a lineup, and it was all dudes. It was like, yeah, I don't even know who it was, but it was like, you know, fucking Mad Dog and like Chris D and fucking, it was a bunch of dudes who've just been around forever. It happened to be a lineup, six or seven dudes, and it was just an all dude lineup, which is just gonna fucking happen. Sorry, it's just gonna happen. There's a lot of dude comics and there's a lot of fucking funny dudes.
It's a but numbers
this,
game.
This no name bitch who I've never heard of. What's this girl's name? Give me her name right now.
You don't have to call her a bitch. I'm not gonna say
no
her
name bitch.
She has a short haircut. She might kick my ass.
So she,
I think I know who it is.
She posts a screenshot of this. She goes, that was all it was. Meaning like, oh, it's, we see you, New York comedy scene. No girls on this show. It's like, you are not working again. It's not going to be you. It's going to be 100 fucking other girls. But it's just before like anything you. Else. It's anything else in the world. Like, it's like you're not looking at reality objectively. When you come into it like looking for one thing, you can find it. You know what I mean? So if you're looking at everything for an example of where there's sexism, oh, there was no Latin comics on the show. Oh my no, god, there was no Puerto Rican comics find on that, the show. You know, sorry, it's just, no comics that had a mother who was on drugs on the show.
There
so
are no,
hold on.
There are no American Indian people on SNL, and I'm boycotting.
Oh, that's another thing. Don't even get me started about SNL right now. This fucking the Hispanic chick who's getting in trouble for her tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Have
Melissa
you guys
Villa
seen this?
Señor.
Yeah, dude. She's fucking, and the person who is exposing her is another Hispanic woman who's like an activist chick, and she's fucking bringing her own people down. Here's what's crazy to me, right, is that it's like this really is a recent development. It's really, really recent. Like, political correctness hasn't existed for that long, right? You got, like, the civil rights movement happened in a lot of our parents' lifetime. This is a new thing. And this would never, it was like an unwritten rule up until like 4 or 5 years ago that it was only for white men.
Snitches
these
get snitches?
Rules, no, that has been true since the 20s. But the idea that it would be for white men, and then all of a sudden it would be like, then they'd go after Trevor Noah, or they'd go after like Michael Che, or they'll go, and now it's like the gloves are off. So now it's become this thing that is, by the way, the liberal social justice warrior movement, whether you, this is just a fact, 90%+ white. They've got a few minorities who they march out in the front, but these college campuses are white. They're not fighting, this isn't the hood that's out there, and they are now getting famous minorities in trouble for saying the wrong thing.
Isn't it funny?
Some middle class white
isn't it
chick
funny where it's
is
like
offended.
It's, they're not even like, they're not, they're talking about like white privilege, and then that's just gone completely out the window. Now it's just like any, it's, you know, it's not even for social justice, it's for their own. Their own ego and their own clicks, and it's how many people are viewing their blog or how many people are retweeting their shit. It has nothing to do with any sort of social justice.
And your struggle isn't that impressive. No one gives a shit.
Yeah,
here's the fucking truth. This struggle of like, it's harder to get booked at comedy. No one fucking cares.
Yeah.
That's not that epic of a struggle. My grandfather fought in World War II. What are you talking about? Like, this isn't a thing. I posted this thing the other day about how for everyone who shits on Trump, I go, I would never support Hillary because she's pro-war, and they like
she found a way to work it in, Dave.
I'm saying, but I think you'll be interested in this though, because this guy, a comic, Casey
Aurora,
I'll say that he posts on my thing, and I'm just going. I go, look, I don't give a fuck if you say offensive things. If you're for slaughtering people in a third world country, I'm not going to support you. And he comments to me, and he goes, hey, Dave, well, you know what? A lot of
can
minorities.
You do it in an Indian accent, please.
I can't.
Come on.
But he goes,
Dave, you know what, Dave? You know what? I'm not for
Casey
you.
Casey doesn't sound. Anything like that.
You better not say this about my people. Your liberal movement is bullshit.
But he goes,
Dave, I love Hillary Clinton and arranged marriages.
Dave, you are speaking three levels above your caste right now. But no, he made the point to me. He goes, well, you may not, you know, find some of Trump's rhetoric. You may not care about Trump's offensive rhetoric, but maybe it's because you're a white person. You don't know how scary that is for minorities. In this country, you don't have something like that. And he goes, maybe that's just your white privilege. And I go, okay, yeah, it's my white privilege. Isn't it ironic that I'm standing up for people in third world war torn countries, and you're telling me about the feelings of minorities in first world countries? Like, I'm the privileged one here, really?
Yeah.
You're not the one who's kind of missing the big picture of who's really fucked over. Like, your struggle of it's a little bit tougher in the comedy scene.
Yeah,
it just sucks. Get a better struggle.
I just don't want to hear white women in general complaining about anything. I'm so sorry.
Stop
no,
fucking
no.
him, man. Good.
But no, I mean, well, I
agree.
Be a
subreddit
we
on this, by the way.
This. I think we talked about this.
What fucking, I mean, in what world do white women have any sort of real struggle? I'm just sorry.
We don't.
I don't see it.
We don't.
I don't see it. I don't see anything but advantages in being, like, look, if you're a big, fat, disgusting white woman, that's not even so much your race. It's just being big and fat in this
no,
country.
No, I will certainly, by the way, see, if you want to have an honest conversation about that, I think a really unattractive chick is a lot harder to be
yeah.
than an unattractive dude. And I would talk all day about how I think that's a more difficult thing.
We know,
thing.
Dave.
But I don't think the idea of just saying women, like white women in general. No, look, if you want to talk about privilege, me and you have talked about this before, but hot chick privilege
yeah.
is probably trumps everything. Hot chicks walk around getting more shit handed to them, more
not
people
hot,
bending yeah. over backward.
It's like just chicks, like if you're a 7, you're set. If you're a female and you're a 7, you're pretty much fucking set for life. If you play your cards, because mm-hmm. those are, it's a pretty decent fucking hand right there. You're a white female in America and you're a 7.
Do you ever see when there's like a,
you know,
like
good
a 9?
Of a fucking hand that
do you
is?
Ever see when there's like a stripper or something like that who's like a fucking 10 or like a 9.5 and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why? If you're willing to sell your ass,
yeah.
how would you not sell it for a fucking way
there's
better?
There's a feminist fucking bells going off right now. They're like, oh, we don't need a fucking, no. If you are spreading your pussy on a stage for dollar bills,
spread it for one billionaire.
You have no right.
Just spread it for one fucking rich guy
really
and
true.
Maintain a little bit of dignity.
But if
you said that yesterday on a Facebook post, which is true.
What?
About the stripper thing. You can't say anything about strippers.
Oh, yeah, but sex workers
sex.
In general.
Sex work, I'm sorry.
Because, no, as comedians, we're supposed to admit that we have fucked up pasts and, you know, we have issues with our parents and we have issues with needing attention and needing gratification. But you can't say that about sex workers. You can't say that about somebody who strips or is in porn.
Isn't otherwise, that half the shit, by the way, if you really talk to a fucking whatever, a social justice warrior or something like that, like half the responses you have to just go, right.
Yeah.
But like, no one believes that. Right? You go, so you just say a thing where you're just like, oh, you know, like, they'll be like, people who are, you know, girls who do gangbang porn are just as well adjusted as everybody else. You go,
yeah.
I mean, no one believes that. Literally, even you, when you were fighting with that dummy from back in the day on Legion of Skanks, and you just go, so you, if you had a daughter, you wouldn't care if she was doing gangbang porn? And she goes, no, I wouldn't even care. And I remember you just go, oh, we're not having a real conversation yeah. anymore. I don't know what
it's like.
Talking.
It's like I'm having a conversation about how Santa Claus is like a figment of everyone's imagination, and you're going, no, he's real. Like, he's really okay. going to show up with presents one day. It's just kind of funny to me that women kind of white women categorize themselves in the same bracket as like legitimate minorities. You know, I'm not a guy as a minority where I go like, oh, well, I've had a really underprivileged life because of the color of my skin. I just don't really play that card. There's legitimate oppression of minorities in this country. I just don't see it with white women unless you're really unattractive. But Karen, I mean, you have feminist leaning thoughts and ideas, and you know you're very female positive. Do you see like legitimate like fucking?
No, there's been so many times where I should have been arrested, and the cop will point at me and say, "Nope, you're good.
Yeah,
you're fine."
I'm sure.
So many times. So.
I mean, one of the things that I've noticed, we'll be like if Emily and I are in a circle of comics. And like the men listen to the men, and then she'll say something, and the men don't even listen to the woman. It's actually, she plays a game where she'll say something outlandish. She'll be like, yeah, and then I killed the guy, and nobody even hears her.
Can I say, though? Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
It's just because Emily isn't. In as entrenched in the New York comedy scene as others. Like, I don't think when Bonnie is sitting at a table with a bunch of dudes that she's getting the same type of thing. And I think it's a level. I think, and no offense to Scopo, you're a young buck.
Yeah.
If Scopo sat at that table, I think he'd get the exact
I
same
sit
treatment.
Here, I sit here every week.
I've had a...
That's a valid point. That's a valid point.
Because, you know, I've had this thing where I remember, like, me and Lewis were talking about this a while back, but there'd be, like, a... Good point. But there'll be like a younger female comic who will be like a year, 2 years in, open micer level, and she'll complain about being in a conversation with like, I don't know, like Lewis and Big J, and they're not listening to her. And you're like, look, the only difference here is that if I was a 2 year comic in a conversation with Attell and Patrice, I would have never had the gall to complain. I just expected that they wouldn't listen to me.
I sit here week after week. I don't complain.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's
people just blow past me. I don't give a shit.
So
what am I going to say?
That's kind of the name of the game.
And by the way, we all did that. I was the guy when Patrice was alive, and we'd come down to the Comedy Cellar, everyone would sit in a circle, and me and Dave would be like little hawks on the outside, just kind of throwing in little things here and there, but nobody would really fucking
pay attention.
And,
dude, it was so risky. You could hit the hardest thing, dude, if everyone was riffing, and you said the fucking funniest thing ever, like, Patrice would maybe look over at you and go, hey, open micer got one. And then, like, look back the other way. And if you fucking missed, it was going to be, like, 20 minutes on you and how much that sucked. Half the time you'd have one and you'd be in your head, you're like, fuck, I've got one.
I think women, I don't know. Like, women aren't used to not being the center of attention in life. And comedy, in our world, it just flips things a little bit. You know what I'm saying? The rules are all a little bit different. So I think women just aren't really used to dealing with that type of brutal ball busting, that type of honesty. You know, I talked to one of your friends recently. I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't want to say her name, but she was just talking. I said calling somebody not funny is the N-word for comedians.
Oh, absolutely.
That's one of my black friends.
Yeah, I guess that's why. She was like, whoa. It's not exactly the same thing. It really was a black person.
I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it was a Saturday night show, and there's this scrawny little kid in the front row, and after every joke, he'd go, hack, hack.
What?
And he'd be like, you're a hack. And finally, I just stopped the show, and I was like, you guys can't hear him, but he keeps calling me a hack. Yeah, and the
fuck you, big ass.
But he said to me, I go, why are you calling me a hack? And he goes, I've always wanted to come to a comedy show and like heckle because like I've heard about it.
Wow.
And then I talked to one of my friends who was a comedian, and he said the worst thing you could say to a comedian is call him a hack. And I go, well, do you think I'm a hack? He goes, I don't even fucking know what it means.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But he goes, it really upset you. And I was like, yeah, like, I want to kick your ass right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, what does it mean? I was like, it means somebody that does unoriginal material or steals.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I'm doing neither. And fuck you. And he started laughing. He's like, all right, that was a pretty good one. like he didn't even realize why his joke was funny.
But here's the thing, to regular people, not funny. Like, who gives a shit? And that's your friend said them. And she's like, not funny. Who cares if somebody calls you not funny? I was like, well, you're not.
Fuck you, you nigger.
Soundbite. Isolate that one. Play it over.
But no. I mean, I legitimately was kind of like, I had less respect for her as a comedian because I was like, that wouldn't bother. That wouldn't ruin your day if another comic said you're not funny. That would fucking set me, and that's what the reason it was is because somebody on a Facebook post had indirectly called me not funny. It was another comic, and I legitimately was like, "Yeah, fuck that guy." I was like, "That's legit. That will make me never speak to another comic again."
Yeah.
For coming out and saying something like that. That's the worst thing you can say about another comic.
Yeah, but didn't you post that guy said that he bombed?
No,
that
it's
guy?
A different. It's a
oh,
different
okay.
Guy.
Did anybody hear about what I did last night at the stand?
No, what happened?
There was this Australian motherfucker, and I went up on Frantic at like around midnight, and the guy, like, I went up and I was riffing and the crowd was kind of tight, and the guy goes, yeah, why don't you say something funny then? And he just did that old line. We've heard that so many times, but I've been going through so much shit in my personal life that I was like right on the fucking razor's edge.
Yeah.
Right. And he goes, and like, I played it off, and then he said it again. He's like, yeah, I still haven't said anything funny. And then I went back to him and I kind of roasted him a little bit, and the crowd laughed at him. And I was like, all right, that normally solves it. And he's like, yeah, not funny. And finally, I just fucking snapped, and I go, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he's like, no, I just ordered a bottle of champagne. I go, I'll break it over your fucking head. I go,
yes!
Get the fuck out.
Pete. Yes.
And like,
yes, Pete.
Yeah, and I literally was at the edge of the stage, and I'm like, get the fuck out. And he, and the whole crowd is like, shit. Like, you know when you can feel it in a room where everyone's energy turns to like, this is
Pete
weird.
Has big arms.
And when Pete gets angry, he just hears Christmas music in his head.
I'm gonna probably pull it up. There's a great Patrice thing about that where some girl in the crowd calls him not funny and he just goes off.
Oh, it's great. Pull it up.
Long story short, I finally got to the edge of the stage and I told the guy, I go, you do not want to know what's gonna happen if you don't get the fuck out right now.
Yeah.
And his girl grabbed him by the arm. She goes, we gotta get out. And he's like, and he ran out and he went and he complained to Joe Harari.
Really?
Outside. He's like, that guy, he threatened me and he blah, blah, blah. And I was
but
like,
he saw him from behind. He was like, excuse me, miss. Oh, Joe.
He is an ectomorph, isn't he? But yeah, then afterwards, this girl came up to me at the bar, and like, this is one of the first times that I've ever had a girl look at me this way. She came up to me, she goes, hey, you know what you did was, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, hot.
And I go, oh, I'm really sorry. I go, that's not me. And she goes, no, that's you. And I was like, oh, that was.
That's funny she said that, because I really think you see the real person when their back is against the wall and they're angry. Mm-hmm. That's who you see as like a real legitimate person. How you're dealing with that adversity, that's the person where if you're going to marry somebody, you want to see them at their fucking angriest, at their darkest, you know, most fucked up.
That's why I show that to women every day. Now, you still interested, bitch?
No, but it's. I think it's really important to kind of see that asset. That's why I like Karen. I saw Karen at her absolute worst. Her absolute worst when she was blackout drunk on Legion of Skanks.
Oh my God, if she has worse than that,
No, it can't get any worse. And if you can still look past the absolute worst part of somebody, I think that that's a good sign that you could actually be with them. You know?
Yeah, that's called acceptance.
You did.
And also having something to hold over their head for the whole relationship.
You did martial arts, though, when you were younger, right?
Yeah. So, like, when I told this guy that he doesn't want to know what was going to happen, like, I'm a champion kickboxer, black belt in taekwondo, like, I was...
Oh, yeah, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
I was so...
An extreme sports athlete?
Yeah, like, I've taken pain.
Never
and, like,
think of it, Pete.
Yeah. I'm not strong emotionally, but I could hurt somebody, but, like, that was what actually was embarrassing to me and what was scaring me is that, like, that didn't matter that guy didn't think that I was funny. Like, none of that mattered, but I've had so much shit bubbling in my personal life that I was so on edge that I was willing to fight this stupid stranger that didn't mean anything.
Yeah. By the way, all that shit, too, that's not the same thing. By the way, Lewis's point about, like, another comic telling you you're not funny is one thing. Yeah. But, like, that shit's much more just alpha male type shit. Like, someone just tries to fucking embarrass you in front of a room full of people.
Forget the comedy. Forget anything else. We're talking about walking down the street with your friend and a guy catcalling her in front of you. That's that moment where you go, I'm a fucking man. Let's forget all this other bullshit. I got into an argument with a comic once because I had the exact same thing. A dude was heckling, and eventually I was like, all right, dude, well, how about I'll take you outside and I'll beat your fucking ass? And the comic who's producing the show never said anything to the guy that was heckling. He got mad at me. He was like, that's not what a comic does. I was like, no. I stopped being a comic at that point, and I was a fucking man. And one man to another man, I was like, I want to fist fight you. If I was working in a bank, it's me unloosening my tie and going, I don't give a fuck what my manager has to say. Let's go the fuck outside.
Yeah.
You never made it long at that bank, did you?
I think I was there that night. Remember, like, was that at the stand when we all kind of gathered around?
This was a bar show in Harlem.
It's been multiple times with Lewis.
Right. Oh, Lewis, this happens a lot.
I just remember coming up to you, and you didn't really know anything about me and fighting and whatever, and I was like, Lewis, I got your back, and you looked at me like, great. Like, oh, good. I feel so safe with you, Pete.
Pete, I appreciate it, but just go sit down.
All right, we're going to wrap up here in a second. Let's play this to go out. We'll play the Patrice bit to go out. Let's just get some plugs out really quick. Karen?
Listen to my podcast, Shame On. I'm going to be in Long Island on October 21st at some place called The Mousetrap, but people should come because they're paying me.
All right.
I should probably know more, but I'm sorry.
There we go.
I said the name.
Karen Fian. Thanks. Dave Smith.
Check out my new podcast, Shame On.
Yeah, Dave.
I've just replaced Micah Fox. So I don't know. When is this coming out?
It's live right now.
Well, all right, live right now. So on Thursday, I'll be on Kennedy on Fox Business and Red Eye on Fox News. And then I'm doing, I don't know what the fucking dates are, but we're doing two shows for the New York Comedy Festival. We're doing a Legion of Skanks show, and I'm doing a Before You Vote week of Election Day at the stand. So we'll put those both up on legionofskanks.com. Go check them out there. I'll have the dates and then whatever other fucking road shit's up there, too.
Pete Lee.
All right. Follow me on Twitter at Pete Lee Tweets. Follow me on Instagram at Pete Lee Sorry. Watch the TV show that I'm on True TV called Greatest Ever on Tuesdays. And go to the stand this Saturday night. I'm on all the shows.
Sick. I'll be there, too.
Yeah.
Me and Pete Lee hanging out all night.
Yeah.
Chris Scopo.
October 7th and 8th, I'll be at Laugh Boston with Andrew Schultz. Come to that. And October 12th, I'll be on Red Eye.
Oh, you're doing Red Eye?
Oh, nice, dude.
Yeah, awesome, dude. Scopo, TV credit.
And first TV credit, Probably not going to come back, but, you know, I told Dave about it. I was like, Dave, I'm going to have to call you the day of. Just tell me everything that's going on.
Don't even try to act like, can I give you advice on it?
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like you know anything you don't know. Give your opinions on what you know. You know, I remember I did Red Eye, and it was the night before it was a debate, and it was a debate that Trump didn't go to. And I remember I was going to lie and pretend I watched the debate because I read up on it. You know what I'm saying? But I remember in the exact moment, I was like, wait, why am I lying?
All right, Chris, let me give you some advice from someone who's been invited back.
Yeah.
I've been out three times, you piece of
shit.
Maybe
do some research. Look into the article a little bit. Read something.
I really hope they ask about the Mets starting rotation. That's about it.
obviously.
Now, Lewis is actually completely right. Just own who you are.
No, I'm not going
to
go with that.
Don't try to act like you're an expert on something you're not.
That's my deal.
Scott Chaplin had a
great thing. Did you see that? He said something, and
I was on that episode.
He said something. They were like, "No, you're wrong."
No, I was on. I was on that episode. It was fucking. This was so funny, dude. Is because
Hello Darkness, my
friend. Yeah.
So Red Eye is a show where they'll literally just have, you know, like a panel will just be like one of us. And then the guy who did that to him is John Podhurst, who's like the editor of Commentary Magazine. He's like this Jewish intellectual who's from this family of really well-known Jewish intellectual. And it's just like Sam next to him going like, well, this happened one time. He goes, none of that happened. it's just so funny, dude. It's such a great moment.
But when I do the countdown, I do my MMA show with a professional mixed martial arts champion. If I ever try to break down fucking somebody's head movement or foot movement, I sound like a moron. And I learned that from that show. It's like, no, just talk about what I know. Talk about it from a fan's perspective. Talk about how things, you know, fucking affect you. So good for you, Scopo. Very proud of you, buddy. Lauren, anything to plug?
Just at Lauren Kubera. And me and Mara are actually doing a show at Stand Up. It's called Mara Merrick.
Yeah, Mara Merrick? Nice.
All about divorce, and it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, I trust nothing that woman says.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lewis should do that show. I mean, he's got a kid. He's kind of divorced.
I'll do it. Deepu, anything coming up?
I'm
plug?
Divorced.
No dates. So.
Anything else in the chat that needs to be read?
Everyone's very proud that Scope is going to be on television.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Very surprised, probably. So.
No, it's great, dude. Dude, Scopo's been doing comedy for a long fucking time. It's about time you got something.
I mean, it's only 6 years, but all right. Thanks, Lewis.
No, you're doing fucking good, man. That's really awesome. Any other comments in the chat? Anything to read?
No, nothing I want to read off the top of my head right now. A lot of negative stuff, so...
Ooh, a lot of negative stuff. What are they saying negative?
Lewis feeds That's off the negativity.
Deepa, what are they fucking saying negative?
Someone says, Mara Merrick fucking stinks.
That's not negative, that's true.
That's pretty negative, bro.
Somebody's heckling Mara and she's not even on the show. She was just mentioned.
It was one of the guys that... never mind.
I know what you're saying.
Let me forget it. I guess if she's not here, it's not really a thing.
By the way, everyone listening, that's the first time Lewis ever did that. So you just come back because, you know what? No. I think I just developed a new ability.
You can pull a punch.
Anything else? No. Chuck C says Scopo is above Lewis. In what fucking world? Let's see. Tell Lewis he's great and better than Bobby, says Twinks KC. Rob Lard says, how about Bobby murdering at Laugh Boston this weekend? There we go. Pizza says, I'd rather eat week old diaper than kiss Lauren. What are you talking about? Dump with
Why
Deepa?
A week old diaper?
Keith, shut the fuck up, Deepa. You read the negative shit. That's how you make each other stronger. It's like when you want to build muscle, you break down the muscle down and then it builds up stronger.
I got to work with these people. I can't just start reading all the negative anti Lauren, anti Scopo comments.
Keith Brown says, Lewis is bald as shit. Dania says, hey, Lewis is the funniest person on earth. Buddy C. Buddy says, Gomez take over forever. Chuck C. says, Lewis and Karen's sex must fucking stink. Karen?
I'm good.
You said today.
What? I did say that.
That was
I
the
was
best.
Blacked out.
That was the best I ever did.
Wait, hold on. You said today
he
was
held himself
the...
up.
That's really funny that I really thought Lewis was going to say, you said today that I'm the best you've ever had. But then he goes, you said today that was the best I ever did. she just went, today was a good effort.
Yeah. Hey, good job out there. Way to go. We're a lot of hustle.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
He looked at her with such, like,
today I fucking Lewis did a good job.
Were you not on top today? Was it?
Karen's dirty talk as she looks at Lewis and she goes, better.
Put down the donuts. Straight up, Lewis. I give you the game ball today.
Oh, shit. All right. That's it. All right. Let me plug my shit. We got to do Bobby's plugs in a second, too. So, guys, I will be this Thursday night with Scopo, if you're listening live, Norwich, Connecticut. Harp and Dragon Bar, Saloon, whatever the fuck it's called. It's going to be in Norwich. Those guys are dope. I went there last time after I headlined... Mohegan Sun, and it's a really cool fucking spot. Like, cheap drinks, gonna be a really party vibe. So come out if you're in Norwich, Connecticut this Thursday night, the 29th. Also, October 9th, I'll be in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at the Chameleon Club. So if you guys are out in the fucking sticks in PA, come out.
The Rattlesnake is gonna adapt.
Gomez Comedy on Instagram, gomezcomedy.com. Make sure you check out the countdown, 6 p.m. Eastern every Thursday. SiriusXM, Rush 93, myself and the Count Michael Bisping. Also, Legion of Skanks on the Gas Digital Network, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. And Wednesdays at noon, the Real Ass Podcast, also Gas Digital Network, gasdigitalnetwork.com.
Yes.
Bobby stuff?
Yes. Go to robertcarleylive.com. He's currently on his True Story tour. You can see him this weekend at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, October 1st, 31st, and then he's out to Pittsburgh, Erie, Pennsylvania. Just go to robertcarleylive.com for all the True Story tour dates. And he'll be near you. Also, make sure you follow us on YKWD Twitter and Facebook for all our up-to-date posts.
Yeah, if you want to...
And the app, remember the exclusive.
YKWD. Also, if you want to send stuff to the studio, send it to 117 McDougal Street, 10012, care of Robert Kelly. If you want to sit in on the show, email ykwdproducer@riotcast.com.
Also, if you want to be a premium member, that gets you the Creeps with Kids and all the old episodes, all the good stuff from back in the day with all the OG members, go and download Robert Kelly, You Know What Dude podcast on iTunes for your Android.
Yep. It's just $2 a month for the premium service. You get all the archives beyond the past 10 episodes, YKWD, all the classics, the fucking Joe DeRosa era, the Kelly Festuca era, Joe List, Dan Soder, Monster Voice, The Truth, Louis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, all that good stuff. Also, I didn't plug the Roastmasters, guys. It's coming next Tuesday, 1 week from tonight, 10:30 p.m. We're also going to be streaming the Roastmasters from now on every other Tuesday on GasDigitalNetwork.com. So we have a high-def live stream. If you guys are not members, you guys can go sign up for a membership. It's just $6 a month if you use the promo code LOS. You get to check out all the amazing shows on the network. And if you guys want to come and check out the Roastmasters tournament, it's free. It's at TheStandNYC.com. You guys can grab tickets, reserve your seats. They will be sold out across the board. The opening round is fucking nuts. I know Ronnie B is going to be judging on the 18th. I know Bobby Kelly is going to be judging one of them. We got a lot of amazing judges coming in as well, so make sure you guys check
that out.
How's
that working out? You're doing one round, and then next 2 weeks later, it's another one?
2 weeks later, the next eight. Yep, and then the last round. You got to win twice in one night. And the last night, you got to win. You're battling twice in one night in order to get the title.
That's really cool. That's going
to
be a crazy night.
Yeah. Going to be really fun. So, yeah, guys, make sure you do that. Follow everybody on Twitter. Follow everybody on social media, and that's that.
Also, we have the post show. We do a post show now.
What's a post show?
YKWD post show.
What's that?
We do like an after show.
Are you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You too?
Us, and me, Deepu, and we have someone else coming in.
Who is it?
Alex Pavone.
Alex Pavone!
Hey, my buddy!
Alex Pavone's coming in. Check out the YKWD post show, wrap up.
Thanks for hosting, Lewis.
Yeah.
I did great. You guys are right.
You're great.
You were great. You seriously were great.
Thanks.
Hit the space bar.
Peace.
Hit the space bar.
Stop it.
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.